Sponge. Cloud opening the podcast today because Vinny Dombrowski from Sponge will be our guest. A little bit later, they're playing on the shores. What's that thing called again?
It's called Rockin' the Shores.
Rockin' the Shores, 9 and Mac. Friday night, Sponge is the headline act. What, probably around 9:30 or so, I guess, because it ends at 11.
Yeah, I would think so.
It starts at 5, and then Saturday, I know they're going from like 1 to 11, I think.
Yep.
They got some cool bands both days.
A lot of beer, craft beers.
It's a lot of rock and roll.
Yep, right on 9 and Mac, only minutes from my house.
I think they got some country, too.
Can everybody stop by and say hi, Tom?
They can say hi. Jump on the trampoline if they'd like.
Vinny's an old friend of the show. We've always loved Sponge. And we had a very funny incident in the studio once with Vinny that I don't know if he'll remember it or not. But
oh, he'll remember it. I think we bring it up every time we have months. So
yeah,
he'll remember it.
I know.
If it's what I'm thinking it is.
Yes, the phone.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. There was something else funny, too, though. That led to the phone, but...
You know, he... God, now that I think about it, didn't he have a story about touring with... Soundgarden and Chris Cornell? Was he tight with Cornell for a while?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Now that I show meeting, was Vinny tight with Chris Cornell?
That sounds familiar to me.
I think so too.
I was trying to think of who.
It was Alice in Chains. I know they toured with when Vinny just decided to come home.
They played at that Tiger Stadium show with Kiss and STP.
That was Alice in Chains.
Oh, Alice in Chains. I'm sorry. Alice in Chains and Kiss. That 96 show, which was a huge Detroit show. And it was maybe the last show at Tiger Stadium or one of the last ones, but it was a monster. Man, that crowd was crazy.
Let's rock and roll, yeah!
Alice will be closing up this weekend.
It's not a sports podcast, man.
No, Seeger.
Are you sad? The Palace. Okay.
Are you sad?
I'm sorry to see it go. Yeah, I am.
I kind of am, too.
As much as I bitched about going out there.
It's a nice building.
Now that I'm like 10 minutes away from there, I'm really pissed.
It just seems like such a waste of a building that's very up to date and very convenient for Oakland County.
It just shows how much money is downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's okay.
And how much money those sports teams make.
Exactly.
I'm going to stop paying attention to the Detroit Free Press columnists.
Oh, is there a new one?
What now?
No, there isn't. I was so pissed. That whole thing with Kid Rock made me so angry. I just said, why am I hulking out on today? There was nothing. I was starting to get really angry about this thing from San Diego State where they're teaching kids how much white privilege they have.
Yeah.
The white privilege test. And then Western Washington has the, let's see, what was that one? They're trying to reduce white privilege somehow. I just don't think it's great to tell kids they're lucky. You know, there's nothing wrong with raising your kid. I think kids should be raised to believe everyone is equal and be nice to everybody. But, you know, some people are assholes and they're not going to do that. And you can't fix those people. Just my point of view. And I think this whole white privilege thing, which is so, I mean, everywhere I read about white privilege, not denying that there's privilege for a lot of white people. But, you know, a lot of white people are economically disadvantaged. They don't have any white privilege.
No, they don't.
No, they're economically disadvantaged. They are underprivileged like everyone else.
I hate checking off the white Caucasian box, anything I do. I'm really,
you just feel like
I'm really
not
white.
A white man.
I'm not a whitey.
But everything's been handed to you, man. Just lucky.
Yeah, I guess so.
Never worked for anything.
Not a thing.
But I digress.
So I can't wait to hear the Dombrowski phone story. I wasn't privy to that.
Oh, yeah. It's a funny story. Yeah, it's one of those, you kind of had to be there to really appreciate it. But...
I get to see Vinny in action every morning, dropping the kids off at school.
You know, that's really funny when you said that in the text today. I was like, you don't think a rock star is dropping their kids off at school.
And he looks like he just stepped off the stage, too.
You know, every day. He looks really good.
Yeah.
He's real. Is he still real thin?
Oh, yeah. He wears a trucker hat. The trucker hat that he doesn't even pull down on his head. He just like, it just sits on the top of his head.
He's always done that.
Yeah.
No, he's a
He's just a good guy. And his wife's wonderful, too. Mimi.
Well, good for Sponge. I guess sounds like they're pretty busy. He's got this other band, the Orbitsons.
They're terrific.
They're always playing.
They kill the Shores. I mean, they love them.
He is just leaving so much music on this planet. Good for him. Good. I'm just glad he's out there doing his thing, man. Anyway, what's popping? This is the DealsNitty.com studios. And we get rolling with our friends at Zot Ford who need your trade-in. How's the sales going, man? Is any new
doing good? You know action? What? We got a few that have come in, and we're just trying to get them, make them happy, and let them drive away.
What's this, your fourth week?
You know what? This Thursday will be my fourth Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm working up, coming up to that.
And what vehicle are you on now for sales for the month?
Six. Altogether.
You sold six.
Yeah.
So you're working on seven.
Seven, eight, nine are on the cusp. Really? Joey's brother's on the cusp.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
got to get Anthony in there. Hopefully Thursday.
First month. That sounds pretty damn good.
Not bad.
There's a lot of podcast people too.
Oh,
I know they are.
Mostly. And right. They can't speak more highly of you guys and how you get them through the day. I had a guy who was just getting his oil changed the other day, and he walked in and he just
To
see me. He sat down, had a Milano.
Oh wow.
The Milano supply is really low, but Steve Gabar keeps filling it up.
Yeah,
so
we have to do something about that. They have the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. They've sold so many premium vehicles, they must restock the lot. So if you have an incredibly nice vehicle, you want more cash, and you think it's worth, take it to Zot Ford and Holly right now. While you're there, check out a new 17 Ford F-150 four-wheel leasing for as low as $188 a month, where you can get too much for your trade-in. Lease a brand-new F-150 to under $200 a month, only from Zot Ford and dealsinthed.com. Dr. Roche, they're busy, busy, busy. We were talking about tattoo removal yesterday and skin tight and
boobs.
Always boobs.
We're talking about Ariel Winter's boobs earlier before the show.
You know, did she really get her boobs reduced?
Yeah, she did.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Now her mother's on, what was that, Inside Edition today?
Oh, she's,
of course.
She's emancipated. How old is she? How old is that girl?
She's a freshman at UCLA.
And her mom is upset about her outfit, so she goes an Inside Edition to say this.
Well, she is not talking to her mother.
That's a way to get mom to talk to you.
Going
to
fly.
Your kid to talk to you,
going
sure Inside Edition.
Respond.
Well, anyway. How old is this kid?
Her mom was complaining that she hasn't anywhere to live, and Ariel's making over $100,000 an episode.
It's her meal ticket.
That's so pathetic. I can't believe it. She doesn't have anywhere to live. She's probably 45, 50 years old.
It's nice looking.
Yeah. But she relies on her child for housing.
I wonder how much she stole from her, too.
It seems that happens often.
She's probably her manager for years.
Probably was.
Anyway, they're doing the $4,000 boobs at Dr. Roche's office. They're doing the skin tight, which they're having a lot of great success stories over there. Talked about a couple of them. They're doing the tattoo removal. They do other things for skin, for faces, for the arms, for the legs, for the stomach, liposuction, surgeries on Thursdays and Fridays, and they're usually busy. So if you want to make an appointment, you want to get a consult, sometimes, too, they can give you a pretty good idea what you need, what's going to cost. Just call them at 248-388-1110 or go to www.droche. Then there's Luke Nowacki. Got an old 401k, not sure of your options. You must know what you can do with your retirement money when leaving an employer. He'll help you at MFC Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. Review your options so you can put that old plan to work for you. Call them at 248-663-4748 for no obligation consultation.
What's that number again? I need to call Luke. I really do.
248-663-4748.
4748.
Is there someone else that might need him today that's leaving our old building?
Yeah, probably.
Is that public?
I think it is.
I didn't see anything online about it.
Well, someone said it was on the buzz boards already.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to check and see?
I will.
I'll
see if it's official.
Quote a source.
Yeah. That's sad. Another sad story.
That would be a very
sad radio story.
That would be a very telling thing, in my opinion.
But not a surprise considering the way things have been.
No, not really. If you're a small business owner concerned about the rising cost of group health care, looking to start a plan, company retirement plan, Luke Nowacki's team can help you with that too. 248-663-4748. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Signator Investors Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor at 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 48034, 248-663-4700.
I don't see anything.
Did you know what I was talking about, Mark?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody in that building told me the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it happened a couple days ago.
I believe
yesterday,
at least
supposedly.
3 days. Okay. Yeah, at least yesterday.
How were they keeping these things so quiet? Because when Trudy.
Well,
Mark found out before.
I don't think they put out a press release that they blow somebody out of the building. So it's up to that person.
That seems.
It's
just
their
beyond
story to tell, I suppose. Because they blew another person out that I haven't seen it reported anywhere, too.
Oh, really?
A really good guy.
Like who?
Well, it's not my story to tell. You know who I'm talking
about. How long have they been gone?
I talked about it to you last week.
Hmm. Can you write it down?
Yeah.
Is it on Air Person?
No.
Oh, but that person.
Another pretty good guy.
Yeah. No, a lot of good people have left that building. No question.
Oh, yeah. We talked to Scott.
But once again, it's not like they're going to put a way to name up Tom.
I just said Scott.
how many people at
There's
that
at
building
least
were named?
Two Scotts.
I already told Scott he should come and work with me at Zot.
Oh. Did you clear that with Steve before you told him?
No, not yet.
Maz is running the place already.
I'm going to go to our friend's Facebook page to see if she said anything. That's a good way to find out.
Well, if it's on Buzzboard.
Oh, well, we can quote Buzzboard. We can say it's on Buzzboard.
I'm afraid so. Is there, do you know a John O'Leary at all?
Yeah.
John O'Leary?
You blown out too?
John O'Leary wrote.
Oh.
Can I read it?
Yeah, it's on Buzzboard.
Yeah, I'll let you read it. No, it's from Karen's Facebook page.
Well, it's official. Karen Civelli is no longer with WCSX. It's worth Karen at three different stations, W4 Detroit, WABX. WCSX, Karen is one of the most considerate people I've ever met. She came from that early 1970s school of radio. Wished was talk to the listener, not at the listener. Good news, in my opinion, if she wants to stay in radio, WOMC would be crazy not to snap her up.
How many more people can OMC hire that have been blown out?
I like OMC.
John O'Leary's with Steve Costin and John Ray.
I used to work for them. Michigan football.
You're fine.
If she's no longer on the air, it means everyone except Uncle Buck, good guy.
Uncle Paul.
Love Buck.
And this six-year-old air staff picture is gone. What a shame. Is Dahmer still there? Dahmer's there, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doug's still there, right?
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Oh, I see. Yeah, Doug replaced. Okay. Carl Coffey was good, too.
This one's easy for me. You're fired.
I'm really intrigued to see, you know, this happens. People come and go, oh, paying these people all the time. I don't get it. Well, they've been on the air here for 28 years. Mm-hmm. The audience has a connection to them. That's, I don't know. I think it's important. It's not quite like a morning show where you might talk for 4 hours. Maybe it's not that deep a connection, but it's a connection. It's important.
Those
it's worth something.
Those don't exist anymore either.
Connections?
No, shows.
Oh, those shows.
Shows in general.
Yeah, that's true. No, I know a lot of people don't want to pay morning shows either. This is very strange. That's why we're here.
Sucks.
I guess.
They must have some other ideas.
Yeah, I hope they're making lots of money doing what
Easily
they're doing.
Corp.
That's a company that does it. I mean, I heard when they came in that they do it cheap. And thankfully, Greater Media, I think, was pretty, that was a pretty tight deal in terms of letting people go, that they get X amount for every week they worked. Or they get two weeks for every week they've been there. So people have been there a long time who get run off get a pretty decent severance at least.
Unless you get blown out before the company.
Unless you're me.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they cut me short by 7 months.
Forgot about those people.
They cut me short by 10 months.
What? What do you mean? I was there for 17 years.
I mean, I signed a contract, in other words.
Oh, we should have fucked it.
I know.
Hey, I wanted to go back to the Emmys for just a minute.
Sure.
They did the lowest shares ever.
Yeah.
I think they were close to the previous year.
Since there's so much stuff on. There's so much other stuff on.
There was Sunday Night Football, I think, that dominated.
Which also had its lowest viewership in a long time, too.
Football rating. It's weird to see football ratings down. That's just strange.
Is it because of the hurricanes or something?
Well, I don't know.
Also, people watching.
It's funny, I was talking about how I haven't been watching many other games besides the Lions lately. I got quite a few people comment on that, and they said they kind of feel the same way. They just don't love all football like they used to.
Well, the NFL's
no one
not,
seems really able to explain it, but they
a lot
just
of people
say
are blaming
true.
the players' strikes on the field, the players' demonstrations on the field. A lot of people don't like that.
I don't think that's the reason. I just think it's one of the reasons, maybe.
Sure.
The games have been bad too. Well, there's a lot of bad games.
The games just aren't that good. Even that game last night, which our team won, but it was not a good game.
No, it was okay. No, it was because the Giants can't get out of their own way.
It was not a good game.
I actually tuned over to Siesta Point for a while.
Well, it's funny. You sent me a text, and I was behind on the game. So I'm like, I can't look at it until this time. And then after your text came an update from ESPN. So because I don't look at my phone until it hits a certain time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm clear. I can look at the phone now. And it was after the punt return. So the ESPN update was the punt return for a touchdown. Drew's text was, Garrett on Siesta Key sounds like John Gosling.
It does.
I'm like, what? Game's on, man.
My wife and I watched, we're just getting into Ozark. I know we're a little late to the show.
Oh, it's great, though, isn't it?
We watched it on Sunday. We watched the first two on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of weird, like, I don't know. It kind of depresses me. I was depressed after the first two episodes.
It's kind of a rough show.
I was depressed.
Yeah. I don't know if I got depressed.
That's how I felt after it. I love Jason Bateman. Don't get me wrong. And I think Laura Linney's done a great
job. There isn't, you know, I'm always not sure with something like that. Is it clear that you're rooting for somebody on that show? Because he's not the greatest guy.
Do we know that yet? Well, in the first two episodes? Or maybe he got sucked along by his partner?
You start kind of.
Yeah.
Figuring out. I don't think you're going to find him to be the greatest guy.
I like his kids, too.
But isn't that because of circumstance?
Yeah, a lot of it is.
How many episodes are there?
10.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I think you'll like it. Stick with it.
I am.
Give it a shot.
I'm definitely sticking with it. Netflix rocks.
Oh, God. Yeah, the Confession series, which I talked about, which has the Lawrence Delisle story from Wyandotte. The guy drove his car into the water with the kids. The four kids had died, and he and his wife lived.
Jesus.
Do you remember that? You were here. Were you here?
That was in the
89, I think.
No, I was not here.
You probably heard about it, though.
I'm thinking of another one that he drove his kids into the, but he went down with them.
People talk about the Delisle thing.
The Delisle one was a big case.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, he claimed his leg cramped up.
Yeah, he had 7 seconds to hit the brake, though.
Where did they go into the water? Where?
Oh, that's the other thing. On a boat? Wasn't it a boat launch?
Yeah. No, it's not a boat launch exactly. It's the street ends and the boat. There's a bit of grass there. And see, I think they were showing it now. Oh, they weren't showing it now. They were showing shots in 91. I don't think it was a launch because the car launched into the water, though. The car actually was like straight up and down in the water.
Oh, okay.
The taillights were sticking out.
Dock.
And
it's crazy, though. He managed to get out.
Yeah, he managed to get out. And he. The thing about the confession is it's all about the confession, which. They pounded this guy for like 8 straight hours, and he finally confessed. But I think he did it anyway. I think the confession was kind of bad. I kind of agree with that. I don't care, though. He had 7 seconds to hit the brake. He said his accelerator stuck, and his foot slipped off the brake. 7 seconds? He had a leg cramp, supposedly, too.
Hey.
A lot of circumstances. I know. Wasn't real impressed. His wife didn't go to jail.
Generally, confessions are bullshit.
So what's this show called?
Most of them are coerced.
The Confession. There's multiple stories on there. And the first one is the one I really was interested in until I found out the Delisle one was on there. And that's the one about the two guys in Bellevue, Washington, who killed one of their parents and sisters and then fled to Canada after being questioned by the police, who said they just thought something was so wrong because the child whose father, mother, and sister it was said his Walkman was missing and a VCR was missing. They're like, really? You walked into that scene and you noticed those two things were missing, and it was a fake robbery. Stuff was knocked over, not gone through. It seemed very, very shady. And the other guy was proved to be very sociopathic. But the confession was very strange, where they got it through this fake Canadian mob, the Canadian Royal Mounted Police put together to sort of suck this guy in and get a it's a wild story.
You are fake news.
Interesting watch all the way. Chasing Cameron too over there on Netflix. Don't miss Chasing Cameron.
Don't forget, This Is Us coming up soon.
Were you happy with the Emmys, Maz? Chrissy Metz did not win.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I haven't watched them yet. They're still on my DVR.
What?
They're on my DVR.
Okay. What do you mean?
I haven't watched them yet. I told you I watched Ozark on Sunday. Last night was Lions. When do I have time to watch them?
Well, I thought you watched season one, though.
Ozark.
The Emmys. He didn't watch the Emmys.
Oh, you didn't watch the Emmys.
No, I didn't watch the Emmys.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I want to mention this about the Emmys because I just thought it was incredible.
They're getting a bad rap, I think.
The Emmys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read a pretty shit review about it today from, I think it was Entertainment Weekly or it was Entertainment Magazine. There's Chrissy.
She's lost weight.
They were talking about the high points and...
How was Colbert?
Colbert was
his monologue
pretty
was good.
Good.
I don't know, once again, why we have to endure a
song and dance. I know that was a really dumb way to start. Alec Baldwin's speech was, I mean, you know, if you thought the Trump stuff was funny, I guess it was fine. But then when he got into this thing about the arts, which he tends to be a real snob about the arts. And this is in his book, too, which was a real hate read for me.
I am not a fan.
I always remember when someone told me that when you die, you don't remember a bill that Congress passed or a decision the Supreme Court made or address made by the president. By the way, that's news that people don't think. Do you think on your deathbed you'll be thinking about a bill that was passed?
No.
You'll be thinking about your kids, right?
Everybody.
Your wife, your kids, your parents, your grandparents. You remember a song. You remember a line from a movie. You remember a play. You remember a book, a painting, a poem. What we do is important. And for all of you out there in motion picture and television, don't stop doing what you're doing. The audience is counting on you. He thinks that we're going to think about a line in a movie or a song when we die? Really? Are you kidding me?
I don't think so.
Is that the most egotistical thing you've ever heard in your life?
You might
even Maz is agreeing with something negative.
I might remember, you know, Batman and stuff like that. I might remember. Well, by the way, it's Batman's birthday today.
I thought I had him over. I thought I won him on that one.
You do have me, Drew, because I'm not a Hollywood guy. I hate them. I really dislike Hollywood.
Yeah. I hate to broad brush anything. It's just tiresome to me that everyone thinks exactly the same. It's a uniform. You go out there, you put on the uniform, and I can't believe that you can get that many people in one group and they all think exactly the same. It seems impossible to me.
There's a few that don't.
The Scientologists think a little differently.
Well, that's true.
That girl on The View thinks differently.
They're losers.
When you look at some of the things they overlook, though, by the way, when, what's her name? Nicole Kidman was talking about domestic abuse. I was thinking about all the sexual harassment in Hollywood. Like, nobody really talks about that too much. It doesn't seem to bother people in Hollywood.
Well, they still cheer for Polanski, right?
Oh, yeah, cheer for Polanski. They love Bill Clinton.
Told a lot of them
their job, Clinton
though.
Didn't bother him too much.
Yeah. Bill was, they dug Bill.
Oh, they love Bill. They loved Hillary. But who wants to talk about that? Ugh. Hey, so what do you think about the nickname Rocket Man
For
Kim Jong-un. I thought it was kind of
funny. I think it's a disgrace to the actual song.
That is a great song.
That is a great song.
I thought of the song, too.
Of
actually.
Course. When you hear that, that's it. I mean, you can't name this guy Rocket Man.
Well, also Roger Clemens has got to be pissed.
That's true. Well, he's just the Rocket.
Although, Roger Clemens, how tainted is Roger Clemens?
He's tainted. You don't even talk about him anymore. You don't even think about him, really.
Why
Except
you,
for
why
Susie.
Why would you ever
Susie
think
Waldman
of,
thinks about him, right?
Why would you ever think of Roger Clemens?
One of the greatest pitchers of the modern era, and probably the greatest pitcher of the modern era.
If I just hear him, his name, all I think of is Susie Waldman going crazy over him at Yankee Stadium. that's what's in my head.
He's in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh, my goodness gracious. I've ever seen Roger Clemens standing right in George Steinbrenner's box announcing
God.
He is back. Roger Clemens is a New York Yankee, and there we go.
Roger Clemens. Is she still doing the games?
Oh, yeah, her and John Sterling.
How does she survive?
They like her.
The fans like her? They really do?
They like her.
Really?
Georgie girl, she used to be known as. Now they just call her Susie.
Oh, boy. Well, we had her on.
So Rocket Man.
Oh yeah, she was great.
She loved you guys.
You called her Susie.
I didn't hear back from that interview either.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh no, I never heard back from about that interview either.
Was somebody unhappy?
Oh, there might have been a couple.
Poor mess.
Why do people have to call me? That's what I want to know.
What's the worst response? Was it Dustin Diamond?
No, I don't think that was the worst.
No.
No.
What was the worst?
Well, Susie, Susie Waldman, they didn't really love you guys.
Did that come through Dan Dickerson?
No.
Oh, okay. Because you got us a couple people through Dan Dickerson.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, yeah. Dan.
And I love Dan. I would feel bad if it tainted him in some way. Can you think of any others? Because I do remember a few.
Give me some time.
All right.
Oh, I know who.
Who?
The porn star.
Oh, Lisa Ann.
Oh, God.
Doesn't count, though.
Please. And
Joey got it from...
so stupid.
He got it from Mike Ditka.
Well, not after the interview, though.
That's true.
We didn't complain after
that.
Just
thinking about the post game. Yeah. I'll think about the post game.
We're not going to get into a brawl with Mike Ditka. That's actually scary. I was going to mention this. It's not a sports podcast, but Christian Schneider had an editorial in, I think, I can't remember if this is USA Today. Yeah, it is. It is. About politics plus sports equals bad for business.
Yes.
And
agreed.
Yeah, there's really no doubt about it.
Well, just ask Kaepernick.
Well, he's talking about Jamel Hill. Yeah. And he's talking about some other things. He's talking about how ESPN is really desperate right now. They lost a lot of business last year. Last year, the network lost nearly 3 million subscribers, so now seems like a bad time to have an employee try to drive half its remaining viewership away. When young people are discontinuing cable subscriptions in favor of streaming options, ESPN would be doing well to simply retain the viewers it has, but the network is now handing the customers an excuse to bail. The most pressing political issue for the network is the wild fluctuation in punishments meted out to employees who cross the line into politics. Jamel Hill was allowed to skate, but according to sports fan website awfulannouncing.com, network legend Linda Cohn was told to take a day off to think about how her comments affected the network after telling a pair of radio DJs that ESPN's embrace of politics had hurt the network with its core viewers.
Well, once again, she's blasting the bosses at ESPN, not, you know, politics in general.
I'd rather have somebody blasting the bosses than telling a third or half of the audience that they're white supremacists.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jamel probably should
Jamel
not
didn't get
have
a day
open
off.
Her mouth on that one.
Oh. It just seems like a bad idea.
You're going
against her life.
You're going against the president.
Stay
really.
In your lane.
Yeah, you're going. Well, no, you don't have to say
I mean,
that.
What do you want him to do?
You're going against the president.
It's a tricky situation. Yeah. What do you want him to do?
I just think they got
to
consider what
stick
they do.
To sports?
You know, it's like, would a local news anchor do the same thing? You have the same problem.
Not a chance.
You got the same issue. All of a sudden, you got a giant level of people go, fuck him! Who wants that?
So no opinions expressed. I mean, that's really what's being said.
No, I would be very cautious. I think anybody can express their opinion, but I think when you call a third of the country or 35% white supremacists,
she called Trump white.
She said if you
so
voted
you
for
you really
him,
felt like she was calling you
yes,
a white supremacist.
No, not me. I didn't vote for Trump.
Whoever.
But I think
Trump
she was calling people who voted for Trump white supremacists. Absolutely. Or if you stick by him, I think she said. Wasn't that the quote? If you stand by him or if you...
She said, if you voted for him, I'm glad you can live with yourself, is what she said.
Well, but she
said, I wouldn't be able to. But then again, this is the ultimate problem.
Can't live with yourself is pretty strong. If you're saying you shouldn't be able to live with yourself, you're pretty much saying you should have no life. You're a zero. You're an ass. You're an idiot. So
I'm glad her words carry that much weight.
You don't think it was that strong a statement?
Not really.
Really?
But I really...
Saying people should not be able to live with themselves for voting someone when you know 62 million people voted for him? 62 million people, she said, should not be able to live with themselves.
I'm glad she can live with herself and be able to express her opinion whether you agree with it or not.
Oh, I'm glad she can too. And I'm not saying she can't. I'm saying it's dumb business.
You have a lot of people saying she should be fired. That's a fireable offense.
I don't think
Schilling coming out and saying I got fired for opening my mouth.
No, that's not why he got fired.
He got fired because he put pictures up.
No, he got fired because they repeatedly told him to stop.
But he's also on the other side. Kurt Schilling, did he really divide their audience as Jamel Hill did?
No.
I don't think it was even as big a deal. This was big.
Not as many people know him either as they did her because she's on. Well,
she can say whatever she wants, but I'm just saying, you know, I think that this editorial makes a great point that at this point in ESPN's history, what they do not need is people giving the audience a reason to say.
But that was my original point. What do you want them to do? I mean, that's a very fine line. Do you want your personalities to be personalities, or do you want them to?
Is she really a personality or a sports personality?
She is.
I mean, how much politics? She's a sports center person, right?
Have you ever watched SportsCenter at 6 o'clock?
No, I don't. I don't watch ESPN.
The idea is to expand it into sports and entertainment. I mean, they interview actors and actors.
But is that entertainment calling that many people?
Well, that's where it's a tricky situation. Then fine, you can only stick to sports and entertainment. I mean, what? The question is,
she can say whatever she wants. She's already said she shouldn't have done it under the ESPN banner.
The problem is it's Kaepernick is always in the news. These NFL players are in the news, so that gives her platform to go out there and go against. You know, the whiteys.
I just don't like the idea that, you know, the whole stay in your lane thing bothers me, man.
You know what, though?
But basically the whole sports business would be better off if she stayed in her lane.
The sports business has been out of its lane a lot. I think that's the problem. I don't think people go apeshit. Like, we're talking about Abdul Mahi, what's his name?
Abdul Mahmoud Rauf.
Right.
Abdul Mahmoud.
Chris Jackson.
Yeah, Chris Jackson.
Yeah, thank you. That was not that big a deal. I mean, it was a big deal for
I hated it.
I didn't like it either.
Nobody liked it, but it wasn't, I mean, he wasn't ostracized to the point where he never played again.
But, you know, at that time, that stuff didn't happen all the time. It happens all the time now. It's like everybody, and I think a lot of it has to do with social media. It's like there's almost too many people saying too many things. It's just sort of annoying in general.
Now, when I was a kid, and you're a little older than me, so you'll know it more. What happened when Ali changed his name? I don't know.
That was a big deal.
Lou Alcindor went to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those are the two that stick out in my head as a kid.
I think it would be a lot worse today because you would have this echo chamber of the internet of sides yelling at each other, not listening, just yelling at each other.
Can you imagine if Cassius Clay was around today and he went to Muhammad Ali?
I'm just going to guess your dad hated Muhammad Ali.
No, he liked him very much.
Did he really?
Yes. Okay. And I love him. Still
I love him too. I always love him.
And I love Lou Alcindor. I loved Kareem.
I got to tell you, I only really knew him as Muhammad Ali. I didn't watch boxing in 64 when he beat Sonny Liston. I was, you know,
but it's
four.
Is it interesting looking at, like, Do you believe Muhammad Ali was on the right side of history with the things he did and said? For the most part.
Yes.
Generally speaking, yeah. The Vietnam War thing.
He said it. I don't have any problems with no Viet Cong. That was his quote.
A lot of people didn't have a problem with no Viet Cong.
I have no problem with that.
I know, but what I'm saying is the
course
of
time. But he went to jail. He did go to prison.
He did. No, he stayed out of prison.
Why was he out of boxing for 3? Wasn't he in jail?
They suspended him for all that time. He had to give up his crown.
He never served a day.
He never served a day.
He couldn't box for 3.
They took his license away all those years. They literally stripped
him.
Yes.
How does that work?
That's what the boxing commission did.
Yeah. State by state.
They stripped him.
I don't understand that. That seems insane.
Yep.
Well, now it does, but maybe there were a lot of people that were for that.
I thought he said
fuck him.
I thought he was in some kind of like legal probation or prison or jail or something during that time. He was not in jail. He could not box. And I remember when it was over, he fought Frazier March 10th, 1971.
At the Garden, and he lost.
Yeah.
He had the red shorts and the tassels.
Well, because he was rope-a-doping, and Frazier got him and knocked him down. Was it 14th round?
I don't think it lasted. I don't think it.
Yeah, it was a 15-round fight.
He knocked him down the round prior. But he finished the fight.
He would have won. I think he would have won if he hadn't gotten knocked down, though. And the great thing
was those two
with Howard on Saturday, Saturday, going through every round, and Ali had himself up like 9 rounds to 3 or something, and Frazier came over and brawled with him.
Oh, my God. There was really nothing like that.
Howard got in the middle. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
They went to commercial. They came back, and it was just Ali and Howard. Mm.
Frazier had a big, you know what? White America wanted Frazier to win.
A lot of people loved Ali.
I know, but white America wanted Frazier.
I don't think it was that racially. I didn't feel that way. I don't know. Maybe it was.
I was always
a guy. I never thought he'd win the title back after that. I thought Foreman would kill him because Foreman killed Frazier and Ali had lost to Frazier.
Down goes Frazier.
Down goes Frazier.
Ali rope-a-doped Foreman into submission. He couldn't even lift his arms.
He was brilliant.
But what does he do for the black people?
Exactly.
Anyway, not a sports podcast, right?
Well, we were talking about politics.
I know. No, it's complicated.
What ESPN really should do is hire somebody that's got a conservative voice.
They won't do that. I guarantee it. Just like nobody get up during the Emmys and say they like some policies from the White House. That will not happen. I guarantee it.
I think that is a much better move than saying, nobody say anything. Everybody just toe the line. Everybody just sit on the fence. That's boring, man.
Nobody tells people to do that. It's just a matter of if you say something dumb enough, it's going to cost you. And I think she hurt herself.
I think, in effect, they do say that by saying, this is our social media policy.
Well, honestly, I think when people do that, they're trying to help their careers. They're trying to help their network. They hurt the network.
So they're not
helping anybody.
Would they turn down an interview then with Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
I don't know.
Or SportsCenter at 6?
I couldn't tell.
If you were her,
an interview with Hillary Clinton is so dreadfully boring, I wouldn't.
Okay, Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump?
ESPN at 6 o'clock? Bernie Sanders? It's just such a bad fit, in my opinion.
Okay. Can I be honest with you? I've never watched the 6 o'clock once yet.
If you wanted,
that's what they're
Smith
trying.
Jamel Hill.
Are they doing?
They don't want me.
Is that show doing anything?
The young
by the way, does it do ratings?
No, it's zero.
Oh, really?
Yes,
that's funny.
It's zero.
Because when I read about it, I said
it's zero.
I said that's going to bomb.
That's what they deserve.
I couldn't be happier.
Me too.
So what do you do?
They do less than zero.
Your ESPN, what do you put on at 6 o'clock? Then?
A real sports.
I don't know. I think they've run them honestly.
But that doesn't work either.
My personal opinion
is my point.
I don't even like the Scott Van Pelt one. To tell you the truth, at night I don't like it.
Tell me I'm crazy. I think they have run themselves out of business by not doing real sports for their sports centers, doing women's basketball and pretending everyone loves it.
Yep.
And not doing hockey because they lost hockey.
Yeah, and they got bitter against it.
That bullshit. Was stupid.
Yeah. People just said, this isn't real. This is fake. I don't buy it. And they're extremely liberal. All their politics are liberal. Anything will come from the left, from ESPN. A lot of people just went,
really? I don't even pay attention to that
really
shit.
I don't really either, but...
Like, I couldn't tell what's left or right. I'd be honest. I'm honest. I am politically
ESPN,
dumb.
The Robert Lee, thing... It. The Robert
that's
Lee
the
thing.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard.
No, it's unbelievable. They mentioned this in this editorial, by the way.
But that
they
was,
talk about
cares.
Their,
that was him not wanting to. Him and the production staff not wanting to do that game.
Well, for it to ever be done at
they're
all
know
is
when
absurd.
They are their own worst enemy because they make these things worse. But
conservatives rolled their eyes when ESPN's granted transgender Caitlyn Jenner a courage award over a teenage girl who died of brain cancer earlier
this
year.
That was a huge mistake.
When but ESPN her, ran a poem dedicated to convicted cop killer Asata Shakur.
Huge mistake.
What, Caitlyn?
Both of
my
them.
Case.
Bruce? Huh?
What was bad? The
both
Emmy?
Both of them.
The,
running a poem from a convicted cop killer on ESPNW?
Pretty I didn't even know that.
I didn't even know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
They have multiple examples. This is a good, if you want to read about ESPN, politics plus sports equals bad business. It's Christian Schneider from USA Today. I thought it was pretty good. I don't. At least I agreed with it.
But I agree.
I really think they made their bet a long time ago. Also, these female doing play-by-play for football games, which their audience does not want.
Sorry.
It all comes from ESPN. It's like, oh, they're trying to have an agenda. Yeah, it's not just about sports anymore, and I think people see right through it.
I completely agree.
So if there's a game I want to watch. There. Thanks, man.
That's all right.
If there's a game I want to watch on ESPN, I have to watch it there.
It's a turnoff to me. It really is. I don't pay as much attention.
You know what else bummed me out about football, by the way? It's not a sports podcast one more time.
No, it's not.
All the CTE stuff, I feel, I don't know, I just, the whole sport kind of, it's not that I hate the whole sport, it's that the idea that all these guys are getting brain damage.
Who got suspended today, Mark, from the Dolphins?
Oh, I thought he got cut. He got suspended?
He got suspended indefinitely.
Simmons?
Yeah, Lawrence Simmons.
Yeah.
Or is it Timmons?
For what?
He no-showed a game the other night. Yeah. He had an Iron Man streak going. He used to play for the Steelers, Lawrence Timmons.
Right.
And
not a sports podcast, but go ahead.
I know. And he just he disappeared before the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had to say he had family problems or whatever. So it turns out, okay, he's forgiven, and he's going back to work yesterday. So today they suspend him indefinitely. So a lot of people are saying he's got CTE already.
Well, he probably does.
Yeah, some people are saying that
he disappeared.
Disappeared.
You mean, like, as in really disappeared?
He came back. Yeah,
they made a fake excuse for him.
They basically said he had a family problem. He had to go home to see a kid. He was
that
upset
was a lie.
About his kid.
Is that a lie?
I don't know if it was
a lie.
Nobody
knows. They're not really revealing
today,
it.
Today they're not saying why they suspended him. But,
you know, they act like they care about the health of their players, which I think they do, just not as much as they should.
They fought
Well, they have to now.
They fought it forever.
You don't think they care at all?
I think they care as little as they can. I think now they're being forced to care.
Yes.
They fought the CTE thing
Agreed.
Forever.
They never should have fought that.
They
should have fought that. Sure. Yeah. Ever.
No,
sure.
That money is what the NFL is about.
Yes,
it's money.
And you know what? I love the NFL, but they were so wrong with what they did to those veteran players, those retirees.
Oh, my God.
So wrong.
They fought that. They fought it.
I mean, Will Smith was the man, the way he found the cure for the
found
CTE.
I was so happy an actor could do that.
He was. I mean, he just did a great job with that.
Jim Fouts has a
game. Oh, Jim Fouts.
Oh,
audio,
yeah,
please.
Tom and I were laughing.
What is that?
It's him.
It's an ad for their college
fair
that they're doing. And notice they show black people and
disabled
people.
And women.
And women.
Disabled people they got in there, too.
Crafting.
He doesn't say September 21st properly. You'll listen. You have to hear him.
Warren Mayer, I personally invite you to our 9th annual college fair with 87 colleges and universities.
Black?
It's one-stop shopping for all students and parents.
I think he might
attend
be
our college fair Thursday, September 21, from 6
September
to 7:30 p.m.
Says.
At Warren City Hall.
It's September 20. How did he say it?
September 21. It's September 21st, Mayor.
Idiot.
One take, Jim Fouts. Oh, boy.
Let me check on Mark's computer a minute.
Oh, what's it at? I'm just curious.
I guess?
Mark rebooted, and it's really slow for some reason.
What's it at? Wait,
let me guess. 38. 38%?
No, higher.
88.
50?
Higher.
90?
Higher.
95?
Lower.
93.
Just tell us.
Lower.
92.
Lower.
91.
91, 99. Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. We used to play Hi-Lo on the radio. How stupid.
That's great. I wish I could play that. I would love to have played those games.
It's not that entertaining.
Sure it is.
Guessing a number?
Is right?
It's almost as entertaining as show and
tell. I need to pay more attention to Maz.
I got some great show and tell.
An element of the audience I could tap into.
You could. You're just away from my part of the audience.
You're like ESPN, skewing 50% of the audience.
Oh, I got some good. I got some goodies here for you from people that have brought me stuff for
what?
You. You want me to break out?
Somebody
sent us
a fathead, by the way, of a Cubs banner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really cool. It's upstairs. I'll have to get it eventually.
Joey's brother do it? He works for Fathead.
No,
he I don't think so.
Fan, probably.
Okay. Guessing. Yeah, he's a big listener. It's really nice. He thinks we can fit it in the green room. We'll fit it
somewhere.
So
are we doing it now? Is this show and tell?
I'm not going to show and tell, but I'm going to give you a couple of
goodies. Why don't we do show and tell?
Yeah, let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah, I'll do
it. Oh, that's not nice. Why do you got to be that way?
What?
Get it out of the way. Why you got to hurt my feelings like that?
Let's just move it up on the docket.
Fine. Wait for Drew to do it.
Is there a name on there, Joe?
From who got it for you?
There's a card. There was a card up there.
Oh, you know what? It's on. I know where it is.
Drew, you missed it. Sing it, Al. You already took it out of the box and saw what it was?
Yeah.
Might be able to fit it down here, right on the ceiling.
It's a big Cubs.
How about right on the ceiling here?
I saw some open wall space in your green room, and knowing you're a Cubs fan, I thought it's limited edition.
I feel like you're bearing the lead, though.
Might work. Well, bearing the lead.
Well, keep reading. I feel like he buried the lead.
Limited edition Fathead might work. Throw something in there for Mark as well. Keep it stiff, Shane.
That's the lead.
Threw something in there for Mark as well? What are you throwing there?
Well, this.
How come I didn't get anything, Shane?
Typical.
Dominating world. Typical. Shane Kazika. Oh, boy, Shane.
I know, I saw that name.
Yeah, I'll do it for you.
Kazika?
Okay, I really like this. Like, this is cool.
Kazika.
Kazika?
Can I be a dick and nitpick on this? So it's just like
it's a Michigan schedule. It's a nice schedule.
No, it's a schedule. And so the block M looks great. The helmet looks great.
I think the stadium looks really cool on it.
Except for one thing.
Does it have a halo around
it? It's not a sports podcast, by the way.
No, sports sucks.
Except for one thing. You don't notice anything about it?
No lights.
The advertisement on it?
Exactly. The Tropical Smoothie Cafe logo right on the bottom corner.
Which virtually every school in the country does. Only Michigan cares.
Joey, do it down here.
Well,
you're on the ceiling.
I don't know if they put this together or who put it together.
I think it's approved by Dave Brandon.
Dave Brandon drove Toys R Us out of business.
Nice work.
What a surprise. Yeah.
Delighted. Dave Brandon, Toys R Us is basically in bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 11.
And was there any, I kept reading for Dave Brandon's name. I never saw his name in anything.
No, he's in the filing.
Really?
He already applied for another job.
He's blown out?
No, I'm only kidding.
He used some great corporate buzzwords like, race to the bottom.
Oh, you should hire that Generation Z guy to explain it to Generation Z.
You should hire Hunter Lockman back. Remember that dick? Remember guy, the marketing guy?
Oh, yeah.
How about Tom Goss?
It's not the students that, the student athletes that make it. It's the uniform.
Okay, so what's show and tell?
All right, well, I'll do
food. Shane's beautiful Cubs thing.
I'll do the food first from Kevin Tucker.
Shane's show and tell is going to beat yours, by the way.
All right, we got some Enemans cupcakes because he's an Enemans driver.
Looks like someone ate some Enemans already.
I gave a couple to the kids.
Joe? No Enemans?
This, he said, Drew would love the most. A New York style crumb cake.
Yeah, speaking my language. Wow, sweet.
And he brought lots of other stuff that the guys at Zod ate. So I apologize
for
that. Lots of donuts and
nice
stuff. This is from another gentleman called Mars Medusky.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
That's for you, Drew.
Oh, sweet. Muddy Buddies? Wow, I haven't had any in ages. I forgot about Muddy Buddies. I ate so many of them that I just got sick of them and then I forgot about them. Now I want them again.
All right, you're back.
Awesome.
This is Kevin Tucker's as well. He wants to get it autographed, but I found this really cool.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, that's an oldie.
Look at Trudy's picture in there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good picture. I like that picture. I bet she hates it, but I like
it. She hates it. I guarantee she hates it. I think she looks better now.
She looks great now. She should be on Dr. Rocha's letterhead, whatever they...
I agree. She looks so we got to get this autograph.
Not that Dr. Rocha's done tons of work on her, but she's at HGH is working. Who's this for?
Kevin Tucker. Wait, I got to give you a marker, a better marker than that. We got to give you...
Okay.
Here, Joe.
Is this a show meeting?
So this is a food-related show and tell.
Yeah, it is. Here. Okay. That goes to Kevin. Wait till you see this thing.
Show and tell. Rebooted.
What?
What? What is? Oh, my God.
It's a candy bar for us.
A block of chocolate.
From Scott Fridell.
It's the size of a...
It's
electric football field.
It's from Peter's Chocolate. It is 10 plus pounds. He brought me two of them.
Unreal.
You want to know why he brought them?
Why?
Because his wife did not wait to buy her edge for me. He felt so bad that he showed up this Saturday.
Are you kidding?
On his own, at it away, and he brought me two of these candy bars.
Did that make up for it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he promised to buy his new, what's that van you guys love?
Oh, the Transit
Connect. Transit Connect.
What went down with the wife? Is she just extremely independent?
He says she has no patience, and she just wanted to get her vehicle pretty
quick.
Wait,
what was his name?
And partially it's my fault because I didn't reach out to her quick enough, I guess.
Oh. I'm not sure I understand. I'm not sure
what's his name?
This.
His name is Scott.
So Scott Fridell. Gave us the chocolate, Kevin got us the baked goods, and Shane gave us the...
Mars gave us the Chex Mix.
So what's your show and tell?
Right here.
Okay.
This is...
Who gave you that?
Show and tell that won't end.
Check this out.
Who gave you
this
that?
This is the real deal, baby.
That's pretty sweet.
What in the...
We're going to use this to cut the chocolate.
It's a giant
It's a giant pocket knife. It's a giant pocket knife.
Where did this come from?
If I tell you who that's from, then I don't have any show and tell. It's Anthony's.
Oh, it is?
Anthony Ketchum from Zot Ford.
Were you scrambling at work for show and tell? Is that
no, I was not scrambling. I knew I was bringing this in.
Okay. This is the biggest thing of chocolate I've ever seen.
We got to get pictures of this, Joey.
Wow.
This is people were like all over my desk looking to break this open. So I did well to get this to you in one piece.
That's pretty funny.
You should try and take this on a plane.
Yeah, you think that'll go?
Blade's about 10 inches.
Is that a real knife?
Okay.
Oh, God, yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's a real knife.
Hand right here.
Yeah.
I'll cut it right off, Joe.
Hey, since we're out of show and tell now officially, this coffee may be getting cut up, or this chocolate may be getting cut up any second. You never know. Well, Mark's taking a picture, or Joey's taking a picture for Facebook. Do you see insurance premiums are going up for everybody?
For health,
hurricanes,
or
hurricanes.
Health. Oh, hurricanes. Yeah. Well, yeah, this is.
Isn't it great the way the insurance companies always manage to make out?
This is what I was bitching about the other day, but nobody ever takes care of it because it's at a time of disaster, and you sound like a dick if you bitch about it. But we pay for all the insurance.
Wait, don't they set the premiums so that they generally make out okay anyway, though? I mean, aren't they supposed to lose once in a while, like Vegas loses once in a while?
Yeah, but not to a flood. That's all federal money. It should absolutely...
Then why should insurance go up anyway?
That law should absolutely be changed, and the burden should be on insurance companies and the people that build the homes in floodplains. But no.
Right, but no, we're all going to pay for it.
Yeah, because, you know, once again...
Tax dollars are paying for it, too.
It's a time of need, so, you know, who wants to ever bring it up?
No, it's
I don't know why people in, you know, Idaho or Michigan would have to pay for flooding in Houston.
Yeah, that's my point.
So you...
But that's what the story's about.
You want the insurance companies to handle it.
Yeah.
You don't want the government, FEMA, to handle
it. No, absolutely
and of course,
not. I mean, people always bitch about big government. This is the kind of things they should complain about.
Remember, too, when...
So how about the states that just get slaughtered? There's not many states that get slaughtered. So... Only a few states are suffering?
Is that part of the risk of living there, though?
Well, yeah.
I mean, honestly,
it's a risk. Does the federal government pay for when tornadoes rip through the plains?
No, not really. Well, yeah, they do. They do. Sometimes.
Only if it's really bad.
If it's really bad, yeah. If it's really bad.
And then it has to be approved. This is a whole situation, a racket that's been set up.
It's, yeah, a bit of a racket. Remember Katrina, though, how the insurance companies were ripping people off saying, oh, no, that's not wind damage, that's water damage.
Yeah,
so we don't cover you.
Yep.
I mean, they really tried to screw people in Katrina. I mean, not just a few people.
Couldn't they? So, didn't those people suffer enough?
No, I know. Yeah. It's terrible. And I hope.
And that's why you see people donate a lot of money.
That's $1 I don't mind the government spending, or $1 billion or $1 trillion or whatever they have to spend. God, help these people. I mean, that's really.
I'd be glad to chip in for these people, to be honest.
We love you, Texan.
They raise a lot of money. How long is it till Vinny? What time is it?
It's 5:30.
5:30? Okay.
We can get him earlier if you'd like.
No, no, that's okay. Okay. 6 is fine. I was just looking for Today in Rock.
Ooh.
Working
on Peter Asher still, the Beatles channel.
Why is he
so difficult? Peter Asher.
He should not be that difficult.
I know. The guy's playing guitar stores. You think he'd, you know, come on.
Plus, he does overly blow himself on the Beatles. He was out of control during the top 100. He's Jane Asher was engaged to Paul McCartney from 65 to 67, I think. So he lived with her parents just to kind of get away from the world of the crazy Beatles fans. And Peter Asher's her brother. So Paul and Peter lived across from each other in the attic, I believe. And Paul wrote a lot of songs in that house. So Peter was... In fact, he gave Peter a World Without Love. Peter was Peter and Gordon.
Uh-huh.
Peter Asher and Gordon. I can't think of his last name, but they were a huge band.
Huh.
Kind of a Simon and Garfunkel of England.
So Pete does a show, Mark.
Okay.
On the Beatles channel and constantly talks about, you know, hanging out with Paul and doing this with
Paul.
It's
like he was there when every song was written.
Yes.
Cool.
I mean, he was
the first guy to hear it.
I'm glad he spun that into a career.
Yeah, he's done well for himself.
Oh, he's been a record company guy forever.
Yeah. Don't hate on the label, Mark.
Okay, what did I do with Today in Rock? What is
going
on?
Did you misplace Today in Rock?
I could not do it. It's impossible. It's got to be upstairs.
It's a piece of paper.
I'll be right back.
Well, this is the day.
Yeah, a butter knife down, too, Drew. I want to cut this crumb cake.
Okay.
Yeah,
butter knife. This is the day that Billie Jean King won. I know you'll be happy about that, Tom.
This is the night?
September 20th, yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the Astrodome against Billy? Bobby
Riggs?
If
you say so, yeah.
You didn't know it was at the Astrodome?
No, I had no idea. A decrepit. I mean, I was negative, what, 3? When was it? 1973-ish?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Boy, was that a fun night.
Yeah, the ancient Bobby Riggs got beaten.
Well...
by Billie Jean King.
Howard Cosell was doing the event. It was a huge event on television, ABC, broadcast live.
Only you would know
that. Yeah. It was fun, man. They decorated the Astrodome. It looked great. I remember it. You know me. I like, you know, arenas and stuff. I'm glad the Astrodome is still up, even though they only use it for, like, flea markets and stuff like that now.
It was also the beginning of the 1982 NFL strike.
Ooh.
So I know you'd be pumped about that.
Did you watch that Redskin 30 for 30?
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks for listening to the podcast.
I didn't watch it yet.
Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Well, I didn't want to listen to the podcast because I didn't want it to spoil my
We talked to the Lions quarterback, Scab quarterback.
You're kidding me.
No, he was great.
Why didn't you tell me?
Interview.
Oh, I just assumed you would listen.
I would assume you would listen to the podcast.
You should have told me.
That you're a part of.
Mark's turning into Gary Graff.
Always. No, I think Gary Graff turned into me.
Why? What did Gary Graff do?
Gary always, anytime you ask him something that you should have known, he tells you you should have known because it was in his column the other day.
His article.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so pissed. I wrote down Today in Rock, and now I have to cheat.
Well, no, this will teach you a valuable lesson. Now you know you don't have to ever write it down.
Well, look, but I like I like to sort of organize things. And I had some notes, too, that I looked up otherwise.
Don't you think it's in this pile right here, Drew?
Yeah, it probably is. The fuck?
It's okay, man.
Stupid.
It stroked out again.
Asshole. No. Although there's that where I made these notes yesterday about the 11-year-old that won't stand up for the pledge because he marches to his own drummer. And what do you know? His dad marches to his own drummer, too.
Taught him that, yeah. Nice job.
Did you see that story?
Nice job, Dad.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dad.
It's a big rally, though.
Thanks for foisting that brat on all of us.
I think the rally got into double digits.
What happened?
Remember the rally?
How many people? 10?
Remember we talked about
the rally? Yeah, the rally. The rally.
Less than 12?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, good for you.
I gotta say, when it's less than 12, can't the writer just count how many are fucking
there? I think it ceases to be news when it's less than 12. That's like the rally for Nathaniel Abraham back in... whenever he got out, you know, he wore his big rapper suit to court, and people were like, well, this doesn't look very reformed to me.
No, you're 100% correct. I don't know why. Well, why is that covered then? Why is it news? It just shows how wrong that side is or how little interest there is in that side.
Well, Jesse Jackson was going to ring the courthouse with people to protest that Nathaniel Abraham was being tried as an adult, but 20 people showed up, and they still had a megaphone for some reason. It's like, take the megaphone down. Well, there's 20 people there.
If you bring the megaphone, you're going to use it. I mean, if there's one in the – we know that. If there's one in the area, you will use it.
Hey, Mark.
No, thank you. I'm okay.
I can't get over that sweepstakes lady.
Sweepstakes lady?
She totally ignored me on the megaphone yesterday.
I forgot about her. I'll probably get a call today from them.
I assumed she couldn't hear me.
Should I try calling them back?
I don't know. She was, what an iron will she had. Oh. Jesus.
Yeah, or she's just a bitch.
She kept getting Mark to try, since you don't listen to podcasts, man.
Thanks for telling
me. She kept trying to get information out of Mark about how much disposable income he had, this, and I kept yelling, what's it cost? Because it was a trip, and she would not give the cost until she had every last thing out of Mark. And then finally we just
What was the cost?
We never found out, did we?
Tour and travel. Leading marketing company for Blue Green Resorts.
I looked it up online, by the way, that Blue Green Resorts one star because it's a fucking scam. Because it's a scam.
One star, always one star. Okay, today in rock. Blind Faith on this day in 1969, September 20, started 2-week run at number one. That was, of course, Clapton, Steve Winwood, Ginger Baker, and Rick Gretsch. They were number one in the U.S. and the U.K. They did one tour, one album, the one with the naked girl on the cover. Great album, though. Can't Find My Way Home, which turned into a real Steve Winwood classic. What a great vocal that is. But that was it. Just the one tour, the one album. And then Clapton was on Derek and the Dominoes, I believe. Then we have 1970. Jim Morrison and the Doors acquitted on charges of lewd and lascivious behavior, but found guilty of exposing himself during a concert at the Dinner Key Auditorium in Coconut Grove outside of Miami. In 1969, they appealed, though. 69. But Morrison died before the appeal came up in France, July 3rd, 1971. And then 1973 on this day.
Pretty small penis, huh?
If you remember Terry Cashman on the podcast. Jim Croce, on his way to perform his second concert of the day, songwriter Jim Croce killed with five others when his chartered aircraft hit a tree on takeoff in Louisiana.
He never even got up in the air?
Well, he's up enough, high enough to hit the tree. Or they came back down.
Poor Jim.
Yeah, not so much time in the bottle for Jim.
Poor Jim.
Yeah.
Poor Cashman.
Yeah, Cashman was the producer, Terry Cashman.
Although I got to say, if it
he
wasn't...
He was stuck doing baseball songs forever.
If it wasn't for that tree, we wouldn't have those great baseball songs.
That's true.
Croce might have sang them.
I was looking up...
Can you play Terry's favorite, Operator...
Oh, yeah.
Remember Operator Man?
Of course.
Wasn't that great? That was a great song.
It was.
I like that. Croce did have some good songs.
He did all right.
I was not a bad Leroy Brown. I wasn't a big fan.
That was his biggest one.
It was a big hit, though. Yeah. Wait, what else do you have? Operator.
Ooh, it's a live version.
Time in
a
Bow. Whoa.
Cats in a Cradle.
No, it's Terry Chapin.
Damn it. Same person. You see the number on the matchbook
is old and faded. It's funny now.
Sound quality, by the way.
No, I'm not playing it.
Oh, come on.
Nope.
Well, how about the studio version? Is there a Vivo version?
I was looking for the studio version for that very reason. It's funny, now that I know Cashman wrote these or produced them,
yeah.
I feel like they sound very Cashman-esque. The lyrics, don't they?
Kind of. Yeah, they do. I wonder how Operator, or could you help me place this call? I just picture this guy so bummed out in this phone booth.
This hit a number one, didn't it?
It's big. I'll look it up.
Living in LA with my By the way, I was so appalled that Cashman had Champ Summers
doing in that song? He never answered.
I looked up his stats. He didn't do shit for the Tigers.
No, I know.
For like 2 years here, 2.5 years.
He never did shit with the Cubs or the Reds. Yeah. He had one decent season with the Reds, I think.
Champ Summers does not belong in a song.
It's probably Terry Cashman's biggest mistake. It's probably his biggest regret next to Jim Croce dying.
Well, no, because once again, that made him do the baseball song.
I've learned to take it well. I
Should we call Cashman and remind him about the anniversary and ask him, where were you? Take us back, Cashman.
I'd love to talk to Kevin Cashman. That's not the way it feels. Since I missed that interview, I'd love to hear it.
That's on the podcast.
Yeah, I know.
So it's available.
By the way, that lady, the rep for Jim Brewer.
Yeah.
A comedian coming to town.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with all these different people. All right. Yeah. Motor City couldn't help me. No one could help me. So they said, you try this lady, Baz. So I tried her. I called her. I left her voicemail, left her emails. She writes me back finally and she says, we're not sure about the podcast yet. Why don't you send me some of the interviews. Send me some of the demographics and the interviews you guys have done with stars recently.
What?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Okay. Recently. Are you fucking kidding me?
Just make them up, Tom.
Well, she wants interviews, though.
So I'm like, hey.
Send her something. She's not going to listen.
You should go to our website. Everything is cataloged. We tell you who we have.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Well, that's
she's
what I
gonna,
did.
She's not going to do that.
And I wrote, we just had the great Dustin Diamond on.
We've had Jim Brewer on multiple times.
I mentioned that.
Jesus.
We're going to pass
he would,
it
he would
this
know
time.
Us. Jim would know us.
Do you know what her name is?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I can give it to you.
Time in a Bottle was number one. Let's call her. After Time in a Bottle came out after he died, right? Which is ironic considering his time in the bottle ran out.
Yes, it did. Casey Kasem eulogized him.
And then his wife wrote that shit book on him, too, about what a cheater he was. What a horrible guy he was.
Cashman in the book.
Yeah, Cashman. Not
wife
happy.
Trashed him?
Not happy with Mrs. Croce. That book came out about 10 years ago, too. It's like, yeah, take your time, Mrs. Croce. Bad, Badly Roy Brown was number one. You Don't Mess Around with Jim was 8. I'll Have to Say I Love You in a Song was number 9. I've Got a Name was number 10. That's kind of lame. Operator only made it to number 17. No reaction to that?
I can't believe 17.
Were you speechless because you were so upset?
I was trying to get Mark's attention and I kind of like Dreamweavered out on you. I apologize.
Oh, I don't recognize that name. Okay.
Well. Working at the Car Wash Blues, number 32.
So he really didn't have that many hits.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he had 2 number ones, a number 8, a number 9, a number 10. He was only around for a number 17. He was only around for like 3 years, right?
Good point.
Pretty good. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I thought Harry Chapin was a better storyteller myself.
Yeah. That brat of his in Cats in the Cradle. What a brat that boy was.
He's being his dad. His dad taught him how to be that way.
That's not the way I took the song.
Give me the keys.
The way I took the song is he just wanted anything from Dad and didn't give a shit about him.
No, Dad didn't have time for him. He didn't have time for Dad.
Is that really what it was about?
Yeah, I think so. Am I misinterpreting Cats in the Cradle? I've heard it 5,000 times.
I did too, and I sit in my car sometimes and listen to it.
And one solitary tear rolls down your cheek?
No.
All right, I'm bringing up...
it pisses me off.
I'm bringing up song
like
meanings.
The Indian.
Song meanings. Trash.
Song meanings. Let's see. Cats
now that,
in
that used
the
to
cradle.
Break me up a little.
What? You know that guy really wasn't a Native American, right?
Yeah, that's what you guys say.
No, he wasn't. The actor was an Italian guy playing an Indian.
I think song meanings is going to laugh at me. They're going to say, why are you looking at the meaning of the songs? Yeah. It's so obvious!
What are you arguing about? Cats in the Cradle?
Nas thinks it's about a bratty kid.
No, his dad was never around, and because of that, he turned into his pops.
See?
Because the Christ
says you. Brandon's here.
I don't have your music.
Hey, Brandon.
I'm having technical problems.
What? There's no music for Brandon?
No. I'm having technical issues.
We're going to ramp up his value to the show without the music.
By talking about not having the music?
Can you load your own music, Brandon?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to talk before your music. Jesus. This show has no sense of promotion.
Brandon, I'm still waiting for Brandon has stood me up like 3 times at Zot Ford, by the way.
What?
He stood me up. He's supposed to bring his car and trade it in.
Look at how the show meanders when Maz is here. It's amazing. It takes detours like no other show. He's laughing. He knows I'm right.
Brandon, you want a piece of crumb cake?
Yeah.
There you go.
See, here we go. Another detour. Wait, what did we call Maz? What was he? The human
non sequitur.
Human non sequitur. That's right.
We had a great collection of those.
They were great.
I think I have them all saved, too. We'll have to bust those out one day.
We do need to bust them out. That's an incredible air chapin. I don't know what the lyrics ask for song meaning. Lyrics meaning. Okay, lyric interpretations. I'm embarrassed I'm even looking this up.
You see Mark's picture on his computer? It's like a Hollywood picture.
I did not put that on there.
Look at it. Show Drew.
It's my, where'd it go? I think it was one of the headshots. I don't know where it went. Oh, there it is. That's a handsome fucking guy right there.
Looks like one of those glamour shots.
I can guarantee you I got my hair cut.
Went to glamour shots.
I've never seen gel in his hair.
Mark went to glamour shots by himself.
Yes, I might go gay for that guy. I'm like staring at myself. It's
okay.
Really kind of hot.
I just want to get this off my chest. Nice. The son doesn't only represent the child. He also represents the family as a whole. The father's too busy with work and doesn't have the time to spend with his family. As the lyrics say, the cat's in the cradle, the family's at home, and the silver spoon, which is a symbol of the wealth the father has to earn. Little Blue Boy is the child that is sad because his father's away, while the father is represented by the bad.
Well, I thought
that
was about the magazine.
The one far away was unreachable, idealized by the child who sees his father as his ideal role model. So this is the metaphorical way of describing the pairs of opposition the song is talking about. The family.
Now I'm just focused on who's the asshole that went online to type all this in.
I know. Well, Maz has heard it enough times and apparently did not understand the song.
To me, that's just a bratty kid. It's just a bratty kid. That's the way I broke the song down.
Well, you assume the father would be like you and spend a lot of time with his kids.
I don't care. You'd be nice to your father.
What's he say? Give me the keys. Can I have them,
please? Let's play it. Listen to it and break it down.
Another detour? Jesus.
Well, it's not.
I'll never get through today in rock.
Did you just hear that?
Yes,
you
I
got
did.
Both your headphones on.
No, where's Brandon's music, by the way? What's going on? Can this show have any structure at all?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I have no idea what you guys use for that. I just know I
just
got bitches.
Fanfare.
Brandon's probably said 12 sentences before his music's even played.
I don't know which.
Meanwhile, in the middle of Today in Rock, 1975, Fame reached number one. David Bowie's first number one.
What's that movie? What's that song about?
Fame? I'll look up in song meetings. John Lennon's on that song, by the way. He's a co-writer as well. You can hear him at the end. There it is.
So different. I don't know.
No, it is a different one, but it works. Nobody would know unless you pointed it out.
A long fanfare.
Yeah, we can't play this one out.
Okay, Brandon's here.
Hi, Brandon.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing good.
Okay. 76, AC/DC released their Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. Mm. Sold 6 million copies in the U.S. alone, by the way. Oh, it's not as high-selling as Highway to Hell or Back in Black. Okay. 1994, the day Matthew's band released Under the Table and Dreaming, which he dedicated to his older sister, Anne, who was killed by her husband in a murder-suicide earlier that year. I didn't know that story.
Satellite.
Is that the one with that song?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It had three songs. Got decent airplay. 1997, Pearl Jam's Jeremy video cited as one of the reasons American teenager Barry Lucatus had snapped into a violent rage and left 3 people dead. Defense attorneys took the unprecedented step of playing the video in a Washington court.
Oh, and everybody rocked out while I was playing.
No doubt. And 2009, Muse was number one with The Resistance, the band's fifth studio album. That's Today in Rock, everybody.
What's that song Jeremy about? I can't remember.
Shut up.
So it's about a bratty kid who kills himself in front of class, right?
He blows up in class. Doesn't he shoot up the classroom?
He's a bratty kid.
Oh, here's Today in Rock, by the way. It's in here.
Tom pulled out the 10-inch blade and aimed it at me.
Show and tell.
Let me see it for a sec.
What the hell?
And this 10-pound chunk of candy.
You're not even flinching.
What?
Mark's stabbing you.
Are you going to eat that piece of chocolate?
Yeah, we're leaving it here. We're going to open it up.
It's time for Ram Power Days at Zot M59 Dodge Ram in Highland. Not only we get a world-class new and pre-owned buying experience, you also can shop the Zot Speed Shop full of custom accessories and one-of-a-kind upgrades. Plus, during Ram Power Days, you can lease a new loaded 17 Dodge Ram 1500 4x4 crew cab for $169 a month. A badass Dodge Ram, just $169 a month. Surf their sensational deals and massive inventory at dealsnadee.com. Get there. Get over to Hall Mortgage, too. Got two more people who've sent really nice letters about Hall Financial and the great refi they got. Or if you just want a mortgage for your first home, your dream home, they make it easy to find out what your payment could be. Or answer any questions, click on the logo on the Drew and Mike podcast webpage. Fill out the online form, no obligation. Just look for that logo on the Drew and Mike podcast website or call 248-308-5000. Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Restrictions apply. Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435, equal housing lender. So there. Vinny Dombrowski, just you want to give him the 10-minute warning, man?
I did.
Okay.
He'll be ready to go anytime we're ready.
We got to try calling that big titty chick, too.
Oh,
one that wants to get a breast reduction.
Should call her now so we have a 10-minute limit on the call?
Sure.
I have an IRS number, too.
What's your number, Brandon?
Today in Rock, I have that number back.
Former Playboy chick, 36E breasts. She's debating whether or not to get them removed. And, of course, online everyone's like, don't do it.
Yeah, I think
not removed, but
I think it's fake.
Cheapened.
I think she's just looking for attention.
Well, I'll give it to her.
What's her name again? Oh, Kinsey? K-Y-N-S-E?
No. I can't remember her name. It's written on there. Her last name is Bentley. Remember it, Tom?
I'm going to her right now.
What's her first name?
Karen?
Right here. It's
Jenna Bentley?
Jenna Bentley.
Jenna Bentley.
J-E-N-N-E. J-E-N-N-A. Those are really big.
Yeah, you could scroll over and see more of her.
But I think the reason is ridiculous. She claims they hit her in the face.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a good ring.
Ring jogging.
What ringer is that?
Yeah, it's not a good ring. A
big boob one. Man, she's got a nice Instagram.
Jenna Bentley?
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Yeah, they're kind of crazy,
here,
really.
I'm pretty positive that's her number.
Available. At the tone,
she have any relation
please record
to Jim
your
Bentley?
Message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Jenna. It's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. We're calling about apparently you were thinking about taking your implants out. We had something wanted to help you with that's related. So just call back the number you see there, and we'll be here for another, I don't know, hour or so at least. See you. Good luck. Okay. You want to try this number, Brandon? IRS, they've already got warrants for this girl.
Uh-oh.
She apparently is in a lot of trouble.
She should just pay her bill. Send them some iTunes cards.
Yeah, I think they're looking for some prepaid Visa cards, or they're going to exercise that warrant and just arrest her on the spot.
It's tough. Tough position to be in.
Life's a bitch these days, man. The IRS comes down on your ass. Big problem.
I keep getting a call at home, and it's for some security system. And I was answering this person's questions today, and then I realized it's a computer I'm talking to. Has anybody else gotten those?
I think the most recent,
thank you for calling the IRS. How can I help you?
Yes, I'm calling on behalf of someone that you're allegedly you have some warrants on. She wants to settle her debt with the IRS.
Sorry, this is the wrong call.
Isn't this the IRS?
You said it was IRS.
You said IRS when you answered. She's in a lot of trouble, and I'm trying to get this. I'm working on her behalf. I'm her brother, and she's picking up some prepaid cards right now, I guess.
She gave us a lot of money.
Apparently, she owes
a
lot of money.
Can you ask me the name?
Amy. Her name's Amy. Amy Taylor.
Amy Taylor?
Yep. That's it. That's the one. You found her file. Good job.
How much do we need?
Oh, maybe you didn't find her file. Did you find her file?
Hello, IRS? Mr. IRS?
It's very unprofessional for the IRS.
I know.
Even this version.
It's kind of weird the way they answer the phone and deny they're the IRS after you say you're calling. After he said he was the IRS.
I answer my phone all the time and deny it.
Let's try him back.
He's still there.
He is?
He's looking for a file.
Okay.
Hey, what's Dick?
What's the number you got on her? You got a number on her?
How much she owes, you mean?
Yeah, like maybe is there like a reference number that maybe he has to look up?
No, it just says warrants. She has a number of warrants, apparently.
Yeah, she doesn't want the marshals showing up to her house.
She was ready to settle, too.
She doesn't want the thundering herd showing up at her house.
I think the IRS needs some phone manners. This is highly irregular.
It's still there.
Not to tell someone to hold on.
Are you molesting yourself?
It's a big scam.
So what they say, are you molesting yourself?
Are you molesting yourself now?
Oh, now.
Are you molesting yourself now?
You want to hang up on this load?
Is this the home of big titties and camel toe?
The home of big titties and camel toe.
Hey, asshole.
I love how they just turned complete ass.
Hey, asshole.
He gone.
Call him right back immediately.
Now we got to talk to Vinny in a few minutes.
I try him one more time.
A minute or two. Who, the IRS?
By the way, my computer shit out on me again.
What happened?
I don't know.
Is your other computer done?
I'm just going to
loading.
Cry. It's the same computer. Those are different screens.
Here. We got an extra one.
Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Oh, there's my handsome picture again.
Yes.
Hey. Hello? Oh, that was, I was, oh my God, I pulled the Drew and talked to a drop.
It's not a Drew.
I hear you.
It is now.
You wish.
Vish? Go vish.
Are you guys laughing your ass off? You do understand that we need to make a living as well, right?
Oh, what
I mean, we don't need stones.
He's still looking for Amy's information, apparently.
I'm guessing, by the way, that
down here.
Does that voice sound a little effeminate with an accent?
Yeah.
You want to load some spongy music? And we'll call the Vinster. By the way, Vinny is playing Friday night at Rockin' the Shores, 9 Mile and Mac with Sponge. Friday night. Goes from 5 to 11, but they're headlining.
Yep.
Correct?
And there's a craft beer there. It's $25 to get in. And you get some coupons to test out all these beers. And it's all for charity.
Sweet.
And Saturday night, they have a big night, too. They're going 1 to 11 on Saturday.
Man, how long have you known Vinny?
Maybe 6 years.
Really?
5 years.
So are you guys on, like, a PTA council together? That'd be wild.
No, we've done the gala, which is the big St. Joan night. We always do that together. Matter of fact, he played at it last year. We give his band out as a prize.
Oh,
people
that's cool.
bid on it.
Yeah.
Really?
Orbitsons. So. Have the Orbitsons at your house.
Sweet.
And, you know, a lot of people, the Madigans have outbid everyone the last couple of years and had him at their house, and they throw a big party, a Made in Michigan party.
Oh, right.
Always a fun time and just a good man. I even got him to play at the bowling alley at Harbor Lane.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a charity thing?
No.
It was a real gig.
It was a gig.
Hello?
Vinny!
This is Vinny.
Vinny, hey, it's Drew and Mark and Maz.
What's up, Vin?
Wow. What a pleasant surprise to talk to you fellas today. I was thrilled to get the text from Maz away.
Yeah.
How you been, Vinny?
You know, I've been good. I'm still lurking about, doing my thing, you know, flying the rock and roll flag high. You know, everything is okay. But you know, the day just got better all of a sudden.
Sweet, man. Hey, our day got better, too. I was so excited when Maz called and said you were playing at the Rockin' the Shores on Friday nights, an excuse to talk to you because we haven't had you on in a while. I'll just go right for it right now. One of the funnier moments back in the Riff days was when I asked you what track 11 was, and I can't remember which album it's on, but it's Raining is the song, which is a great song. And you didn't know what track 11 was. I couldn't think of the title. And so you pulled out your phone to call your manager, and the phone was the size of a brick.
Well, that just goes to show you how long ago fun started. So that, I mean, and I probably had a pager on at the time, too. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
I think this was about 2002, though, because it was a big phone for the time.
Was it a bag phone?
Vinny had it around. He'd kept it for a while. I don't know. You had some emotional attachment. It was really big, but it was funny. That was cool.
2000 as well, yeah. I do recall some very large phone. It's pretty embarrassing, but I've stepped it up. Some of my friends still can't get rid of their flip phones today, though, so...
By the way, speaking of it's raining, I was looking at comments under that song, because I always look at comments, and somebody was saying it sounded like the Psych Furs, and I was thinking, I wonder if Vinny is a Psych Furs fan, or who are your favorite bands growing up?
Well, when you bring up Richard Butler from the Furs, we were all big Furs fans, and Richard came into this thing on our second record.
Wow.
The Wax Ecstatic record. We toured with Richard, as a matter of fact, in 95, I want to say. He had a band called Love Fit Love.
They were great.
It was a really good band. So it was Sponge, Love Fit Love, and Live. We were all out on the road together. And we became real good friends with Richard, and it was a thrill to be out there with him. And then we just got the guts off to ask him one day, you know, if we just sing on this track on the next Sponge record, the Wax Ecstatic record. And he agreed to. So it was always great to hang out with him, spend time with him in New York City and stuff like that.
We're talking about that Tiger Stadium gig, too, with Kiss and Alice in Chains. God, what a day that was. Holy crap.
Man, I'll never forget that day. But I'll tell you what, at the time, you don't know that you're standing in the middle of history. And I couldn't even get that perspective until, like, lately. I just go, wow, that was just a day that... people remember, and I revere the day, to be quite frank with you. Now, back then, I was probably just prowling around trying to figure out how to get a fresh vodka on the rock.
Yeah, I didn't quite realize how historic it was either, because Alice in Chains wouldn't be around. I mean, at least the lead singer wouldn't. And
you guys replaced, I think because we thought it was STP, and then we remembered it's changed, but you guys replaced Stone Temple Pilots because of what was going on with Weiland.
Oh, that's right.
That's exactly right. Scott, I think, was entering rehab at the time. Yeah. And since our manager also managed Alice in Chains, that was Susan Silver, who also managed Soundgarden at the time, we were just coming back into town from touring, and we got the call to come and play the gig, and we thought, well, why not? We're pals with Alice in Chains. We would love to see Kiss and to play that baseball stadium, Tiger Stadium, where you went to go watch a baseball game as a kid. Now you're in a rock band from Detroit going to play your hometown. It's a big deal.
Well, because of that, how well did you know Lane Staley and Chris Cornell?
Well, you know what? I spent more time with the Soundgarden guys and Chris, having been out to Seattle to work on some different projects with Sean Kinney, the drummer from Alice, and Chris DeGarmo. We played with Queensryche and Mike Inez. We played bass with Alice. We had a band called Spies for Darwin for a second. So I'd be out in Seattle, and you know, I would go to Cornell's house for his daughter's first birthday party and that kind of thing, you know. So, and we did do some touring with Soundgarden in Europe as well, and Lollapalooza for that matter. So, you know, Alice in Chains was also in the landscape a lot as well, you know. When we had Super Bowl in Detroit, Cantrell stayed at my house, you know what I mean? So we would play cards in the back room and go to Super Bowl parties and stuff. So it's like, those guys were kind of just part of our landscape, and Lane looked fantastic on the day that they performed Tiger Stadium, and that was probably one of the last shows that he did.
Yeah,
God, it's just so weird. All those lead singers out there, except Eddie Vedder, they're all gone, and that's got to. I mean, nobody can really understand what's going on with those people, but it's just so weird that, you know, so many guys in such a small space from the same place. I mean, it's got to blow your mind knowing those guys.
You know, it really, I go back to what Iggy Pop said one time. This rock and roll thing is dangerous for the practitioner, you know? And what it really is, and what's going on inside some of these guys' heads, you don't know. And the ironic thing is with Scott or Chris, you can't babysit them 24 hours a day, 60 minutes in every hour. You just can't. 1 minute you think they're going to be okay, and the next minute, guess what? They're not. A guy like Lane, it was a slower burn, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But just you just go, my God, who can recognize some of the demons that go on with some of these guys?
Yeah, you don't know, and, you know, like Chester Bennington and yep. Cornell, both those were just massive surprises. Were you at that Soundgarden show, or had you seen Chris recently?
I had not. I was not at that show. I think I had a gig, and I was not, I don't think it was in town, but I couldn't, and I didn't want to believe it, and yeah. I still don't want to believe that. I just think that these guys had so much more to give to life and music, and it would seem that everything was kind of okay, you know, with family and things like that. I just can't understand it.
Yeah, no one can.
Yeah, it's really, really bizarre. Vinny Dombrowski's with us from Sponge, the last original Sponge guy standing, but you've been with these guys a long time, so it's not like there's some crazy lineup. But all the other bands, let's see, Plainview, Orbitsons, who are doing great work these days, Cruds,
love the Orbitsons.
Spies for Darwin, you mentioned, the Maypops, Sharecroppers of Soul, Loudhouse, Spider, Chaos, or The Void. are all those really bands you were in?
You know what? I think I was 90% of those bands. You know, it's a lot of bands, but these days I just boil it down to the things I know and... lyrics I can still remember, so it was pretty much like the Orbitsons and Sponge, although I get a thrill of playing with the Crud band with Danielle and Dana and James and, of course, David Black, the guitar player from Seduced.
You're going full speed ahead, though. You're leaving, you're still writing a lot of music. You're writing for two different bands at once. That's you got to be so busy with this. It sounds like you're enjoying the hell out of it.
I do get a kick out of it. Sometimes it puts me in the bar way too much, though.
Yeah. Well, you're the son of a guitar player, right?
My dad taught guitar. My dad played professionally in bars, for years. And then he started to teach, and I know that's where I got the bug. You know, there's a guitar laying around the house, and you're just like, this is kind of cool. So before we could even learn a cover tune, before we could even play Smoke on the Water, I think we were writing songs is always very important for some reason.
Are your any of your kids play instruments?
They do. My oldest son's they're going to be playing over at that Rock in the Shores festival in the band O'Dan, and one's a drummer, one's a guitar player.
Really?
So those guys play. Yes, my younger kids are starting to pick up some piano and they sing, so it's kind of cool.
And are you telling them stories, Vinny? Are you warning them about all the horror stories of the road and all what the tough life of a rock star, or are you just letting it happen?
You know what? I would tell them not to touch it with a 10-foot pole, because I'm going to tell you something right now. Everybody watches these singing shows and all these kids up on that stage with a beautiful PA and lights and all that kind of stuff. And I go, that's certainly, I suppose, one way to approach the business. But the way we approached it by playing places like Blondie's on the West Side or the Falcon Lounge, places you wouldn't want any of your kids to go into without like a pit bull and a tetanus shot. You know what I mean? It's just like, you got to be careful with those places. That's where we cut our teeth, man. You know, Harpo's, Pratt, all these places on the East Side. And that's just the beginning. So, you know, traveling all over the country and not making any money and doing what we had to do to even eat was crazy. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't suggest this to my kids at all.
After playing all those places, though, was there a time when you're, say, on a big stage, maybe it was Tiger Stadium, maybe it was, you know, Madison Square Garden or Europe, wherever, where maybe in between songs you're like, holy shit, I just, like, it hits you where you realize where you are?
Sometimes I don't even think I know where I am today.
But was there one show where it's like, oh my gosh, this is what I've always wanted, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that moment was probably in Germany playing a Poco Pop festival, opening up for like Metallica. You know what I mean? I think I had that oh shit moment. This is like really happening, kind of thing. Because, you know, I'm a Detroiter. There's a sense of pessimism maybe that used to be there, and until I was on a plane or in the bus or listening to my song on the radio, I was just like, yeah, is this really happening? And it really happened, you know. It's kind of a crazy thing, but that was probably the moment.
I just know you from St. Joan of Arc. Yes, Vinny dropping his kids off. That's how I know Vinny Dombrowski.
You know, and I got to tell you, what a great life, man. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm a lucky guy. You know, Tom, you're a great friend, and we have some great times over there. And to basically be able to do this because of the music business, I just go, I feel even more fortunate. But, you know, I don't know. I count my lucky stars.
I don't know if I'd advise a guy, you know, even a lead singer in a band 20, 25 years ago to have five kids. That seems like pretty risky business, but somehow you're pulling it off, Vinny.
I wouldn't suggest people to do this either because, you know, the first marriage and being on the road with a band and living, like I not only grew up and went to school in the city of Detroit, I raised a family in the city of Detroit in some of those places that you don't want to go into, paying, you know, $250, $400 for a flat and raising kids. And my kids went to Detroit schools, too. So, and all because Dad wanted to play rock and roll.
How are they doing?
Those guys are way more well-adjusted than me, buddy.
Good.
You got a beautiful woman behind you, Mimi. You need that in your life.
Oh, man, you know, keeps me on the beam, man. I'm just chipping away at life all the time, trying to make something good out of it, you know. And I just go, yeah, that certainly helps. I got to send props out to my lovely wife.
Yeah, Maz texted me this morning. Yeah, I see Vinny dropping off his kids. He's got a beautiful wife. And I said, the beautiful wife was a given, Maz. You didn't need to pass that along. I know who Vinny is.
She's a sweet woman. Love her.
You said beautiful and sweet. That's true.
I did.
You could have left beautiful out.
It's understood.
Hey, Vinny, I know you've played with Kid. You've known Kid Rock growing up. What do you make of all the noise that went on with him playing the opening of LCA?
Great question.
Mark, thanks,
good.
Drew.
Yep. Good, Mark.
Well, let me tell you something about this. Yes, I've known Bob for many years. We would do shows together. He would open up for Sponge at the Ritz, you know, and in Roseville. That I've known him that long. And he's asked me to come into the studio to play drums on many occasions, which I've been happy to do. And I was really kind of put off reading some of the articles in the paper recently about people's perception of him. And I got to tell you, people are jumping to a lot of conclusions. I think there's nothing but positives in doing what he has managed to do with his life and what he did downtown at that stadium. And I got a feeling, too, maybe he called up somebody down there. He maybe arranged that gig. I don't know if the Illiches were involved in asking him or not, but I think it's a great thing that Bob was able to do. And I got to tell you, fellas, I don't think there's one ounce of any kind of racism in that man's heart at all. You know, not one iota. From, you know, and I can say that with all confidence, all my heart. You know, I believe that.
Well, you know,
we do too.
For all we know, all the things we knew what he did for charity. And what, I mean, and we've met him before. You know him. You call him Bob, so obviously you know him. But yeah, that was disturbing to read about. Hey, I got to ask you about Molly because it's such a big song, and it's funny. I was thinking about driving home many years ago,
and listened to it the other day, and it like reminded you of him.
No, honestly, God, it was on Sirius, and I was like, I haven't heard that song in a while, and I went inside and played a bunch of Sponge songs on my little speaker in the kitchen. I love Sponge. You got a lot of great songs and Good for the People, Rocking the Shores, Friday night, 5 to 11, 9 in Mac. Friday night, you'll see Vinny and Sponge sometime, around 9:30 or so?
Sponge should hit the stage by about 8:45. Oh. We seem to have a deal with the neighbors to keep it, you know, to about 10 o'clock, and then we kind of calm it down a little bit. So, yeah, it's about 8:45 to 10 o'clock. Sponge should be on that stage.
Great. Anyway, Molly, I mean, that was a Billboard Top 100 hit, right? I mean, it made it to probably some airplay almost across CHR, Top 40. I mean, that's a huge song. Big MTV airplay.
Yeah. It was a big tune. I think it went to number 5, perhaps, in modern rock at the time, you know, which all radio has changed, as we know, and it was that modern rock format that it hit pretty hard. Yeah, we were very fortunate with that thing. Cloud as well, you know, like, wow. And it still played on terrestrial radio, you know, go figure.
But Molly, 16 Candles down the drain or whatever. Of course, people thought it was about Molly Ringwald, which is really funny. People insist it's about Molly Ringwald, but it's
She was born on my birthday, by the way.
Oh.
Oh, geez.
Thank you, Mass.
It's okay.
Lord.
good.
Vinny, it's not about Molly. It's not about Molly Ringwald.
Right? You know, we were so stupid back then. She wanted to be in the video for the tune. And back then, a lot of us rock guys were just like, you know, man, it's all about the music. It's going to give people some weird idea, you know. And, you know, at the time, I probably had some idea that she could have been one of my ex-wives. So I just like, you know, forget it. No, it's not about her. But she reached out to us, man,
wow.
About doing it.
That's pretty cool that you turned down Molly Ringwald.
That was stupid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen her in the video, yeah. I have to admit.
Then who's Mary? And did she ever get any help?
You know, that song just changed the name. A real gal.
Really?
And it's a song, yeah. The lyric pretty much was written. We did a radio station visit early morning in Atlanta years ago. And while we were waiting to go on, we wrote the song. And, you know, when I understand some subject for a person, I can immediately jot the words down. The song kind of really happens on its own. But, that real person just changed the name.
It's a great song, and it was in...
it was a great song. I love it.
It was in a Kevin Smith movie, wasn't it? It was in a movie.
Chasing Amy, was it, or...?
Yeah, Chasing Amy, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, does that... I know Kevin was a fan of you guys. Does that work out very well? I mean, I know the licensing business probably isn't what it used to be, but does that do anything for you, other than have your song in a movie?
Well, I think people look at, that as something that endures. What it does for me, it does something more for the label at that point. You know, I mean, licensing, if I owned the masters and the publishing, it used to do well for me. But, I think it's something that's a feather in your cap, and people come to shows and they go, yeah, I remember that song from, you know, Mallrats, or that song from Chasing Amy. It is kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, that's nice. Are you getting stuff in movies now, or are you still trying to do that?
Yeah, man, it was a surfing movie that just came out that Cloud was in a couple of years ago.
Oh, nice.
But, I like to try to do that anytime we can, but these days it's really a whole different animal, you know, and that's why I'm out there playing live gigs, because it seems like the live gig is where the money's at, and everybody knows that these days. So we're out there, man, still slugging away. We're going to West Coast next week. We got 5 days starting in Vegas, and, you know, playing the Whiskey a Go Go and still doing that kind
Sweet.
Of thing. So,
man.
That's another hustle. Yeah.
Well, how cool that you guys are still getting to the West Coast and places like that. I mean, how many bands from Detroit can really do that? I mean, that's gotta take a Herculean effort, I bet.
Well, it is, and there's only so many bars to play in St. Clair Shores, so we got to go out west.
Bowling alleys, don't forget.
Yeah, man.
Boy, you play and play and play, Vinny. I'm so glad you're still out there doing it, because you're a great singer and we love what you're doing. And Rocking the Shores, Friday night, 8:45 or so, 9 in Mac, and sounds like a pretty good deal over there. $25 and you get the beer tickets just to get in. There's a lot of bands, actually, from 5 o'clock on. There's the same thing all over again on Saturday. Hey, Vinny, thanks so much for the time. I hope you guys have a great crowd Friday and at all your other gigs, and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, you guys want to come out, just get a hold of me. We'll lay out the red carpet for you. Come on out. We'll make sure you see the bands and have a craft beer.
Hey, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It does. I think we should.
You going, Maz?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Vinny, we might be talking Friday.
It's going to be good.
Thanks, man.
Good
Thanks so much.
Yourself. Thank you.
Good talking to you. Bye. See ya.
See you tomorrow morning. You guys can come to my house for a bit, and then we'll just go rock the shore.
I might be in for that.
All right.
I really like this song.
I love hearing his voice. I didn't know Sponge from a sponge coming here to Michigan. I didn't. I'll be honest with you. But
well,
hearing that, and then I always hear the Orbitsons, it sounds really cool. He's cool, man.
He is. What year did you get here, Maz?
93.
93?
Yeah.
So Sponge was busting right on when you got here.
They were.
Molly,
I know what music I listen to. I listen to Michael Jackson for quite a while.
I thought Molly crossed more formats. I looked it up today. It reached number 55 on the Hot 100, which is actually, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's not only a rock hit, it was a a hit of sorts.
He said number five on
Modern Rock.
Yeah, the Modern Rock.
It was all over the radio. I mean, because I remember driving home, and it was like, it didn't matter what station you turned to, you were going to hear Molly. I thought, at the beginning of the song, I thought he said cigarette stains on your ass. It doesn't make any sense. I was like, how did she get cigarette stains on your, or cigarette stains
so
on
what
your
does
ass?
It say?
Cigarette stains on your hand.
On your hands.
But I thought it was ass for a
everyone
long time,
makes their own words up, let's face it.
Yeah. He's a great singer, though. I forgot that he was a drummer. Mm-hmm. He was a guitar player, and then he went to the drums, and I think it's his first band he was drumming in. And then Sponge, he went from drumming to lead singer because they lost their singer. I was kind of wondering who
he's a good showman. He really is. You know, involves the audience. He's top of the line.
No, it's so cool that they made it the way they did, and they're still doing it. And
perfect time, too.
There's a good, exactly. There's a good story in, he's on the cover of Music Insider magazine. A pretty good interview online with Vinny. I think it's from 2014. I read it today, though. And it was about touring. And I got to tell you, it sounded like a grind. I'm like, wow, I can't believe these guys are still. But he sounded like he has fun doing it.
Well, you need, like I said, you need a good wife because who's watching those kids?
No, I know. Exactly. And, you know, spending all that time away in bars, like he said. And, you know, I think they share hotel rooms and they try to cut expense, you know, gas in the hotel rooms. It's expensive. It's a tough, I mean, you know, I remember when the whole Napster thing started and it was like, oh, what's the big deal? They make all their money touring anyway, which was BS. Right. Bands did not make money touring because the record companies would charge them back for, you know, they pay for the hotels and the bus and all that. And they really didn't make any money. But now they have to. So, yeah, they do make their money touring and they got to really keep their costs down to do it. But Sponge is, you know, Sponge, it's really time for 90s nostalgia. You know, I would think they'd have some good bills with, I know they were on a bill with Art Alexakis from Everclear.
Everclear, yeah.
And somebody else.
Ramp band.
Yeah, they were, Art was, we had Art in the studio.
Super nice guy.
He was really cool. You know, actually, I'm trying to think of, you know, there's so many guys from that period we got to talk to. They were all pretty nice, I thought. Grant, I mean, even Weiland and the DeLeo brothers.
Yeah.
Weiland was a little weird.
This guy from the Goo Goo Dolls, Resnick.
Resnick, yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys, you know, we had them in when they were nothing.
Hey, Resnick! Anybody ever called Johnny Resnick Resnick?
Oh, yeah, his gym teacher did. He and Robbie came into riff in the old building, and I remember getting shit afterwards because of, what are you doing up in the Goo Goo Dolls? And we'd kind of set it up ourselves, and they're like, the Goo Goo Dolls? And also, I forgot what their song was that they were playing, but Mike and I both liked Name. Remember the song Name?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they played Name.
Oh, wild the world to see me. That song. Is that it? Or is that Iris?
No, that's Iris. But Name was a Name. Name ended up being a hit. So
that was pretty psychic on our part.
I just want you to know who I am. What?
Yeah, I know. Right. That was a little dramatic. Yeah,
my name's Iris.
I was surprised to see he was live at Daryl's house.
I know. Once again, with Oates peeking through the window.
Yeah. People have been sending me a lot of suggestions for live at Daryl's house. There is so much cool music going on at Daryl's house.
Vinny just sent me a text. Thanks so much, guys. That was awesome.
Oh, cool.
He's awesome, man. Love him. So happy for him. And he is littering the planet with music. Littering the planet. That sounds terrible. He is covering the planet with music. I mean, he is a guy.
He does.
Kind of like Peter Case. You know, still doing it, still writing music, still making albums.
When's he coming? October or something?
October 20. Hold on.
You got to go see him?
I want to. I think it might be a conflict for me, but it's in Livonia. I told him, can you move?
Can you come east a little bit, please?
We could do him at the Magic Bag, right? 20th, Trinity House in Livonia. Peter Case, not with the Plimsolls, unfortunately, but he's got a lot. He's got 16 albums since the Plimsolls. Songwriting, I mean, writing all his songs, and he's been nominated for a few Grammys, does some producing, too. Good guy. So, anyway, how far in are we, Brandon?
I don't know. Showed up.
Like an hour and a half.
Maybe an hour, yeah.
Oh, only an hour and a half? Yeah. It's a long hour and a half today.
Well, you want to wrap it up? So,
no. Yeah. Really. I was just asking.
Have you guys ever read those?
Do you want to call the hot, sexy chick that put the sign up in her yard so she get her power turned back?
Sure.
Hold on, before you call her.
Yes, sir.
You guys ever read the local newspapers that come to your house? They stuck the stuff in the mailbox?
I love them.
Oh, like, yeah. No, the Woodward Talk is the greatest paper.
I have the St. Clair Sure Sentinel. What do you get? You get the Woodward Talk?
Woodward Talk, greatest paper.
You get Royal Oak Review here? What do you get?
I get the Talk. I get the Woodward Talk. Yeah.
We just call it the Talk in this area.
Yes. Well, they're C&G newspapers, and they're fans of the show.
They are?
They're really?
They publish the Talk.
Are you ready for this? Some of their headlines and teases are drops from this show.
What?
What?
So we have to start.
Are you kidding me?
We have to start paying attention. If you have a newspaper upstairs, maybe we could bring it down here and start looking through it. But start looking through it.
I don't think I have a new one, but I'll be looking.
It could be any one. These guys.
That's hilarious.
Wait a sec. Well, when are they going to do an article? When's the Talk going to do an article on the podcast? We're in the Woodward Corridor.
Come on, C&G.
We got connections here. Mike Moore is one of the writers there. He's real good, but this new kid, Tim Ponzer, have you read about him?
I love the Ponzer.
You are a fan.
Hey.
The Ponzer is the man.
Hey!
He wrote the John Jansen article last week about you know, the Michigan Hall of Fame and all of that.
I didn't see that because I don't think that was in the Talk.
I just think he's a real cool guy. Anyway, these guys,
whenever something's broken, the Ponzer just walks up and elbows
the Ponzer
it.
Snaps
and then
it.
And then it works.
Hey, by the way, they showed a picture of Fonzie the other day, Henry Winkler, on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he was holding this huge fish.
Yeah, that's all he does is fly fish.
He's a fly fisherman.
Wink Dog is?
Yeah, so I gave him two thumbs up as two like emojis.
Of course you did.
Two thumbs
up. Did
he
respond? No, he never even saw it.
No, he didn't see it. Anyway, I just
wanted to say that. The Ponds listens, huh?
The Ponds listens. Mike Moore is a big fan, and those guys that write those articles, you have to start paying attention now.
Oh, okay, great.
Hey, what?
My computer is just totally boned.
That's because you came over here and ruined your download.
Is it not playing through the board?
No, it's not.
Boy, it's
fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Oh, there's Henry. By the way, Brandon, I noticed during the Vinny interview, there seemed to be some nude women on your screen.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was
enjoying all about?
It. Nice.
I was enjoying it.
Just the corner of my eye. I used to notice it when Jay sometimes would have
you
women
look
up on
there
screen.
Now on the big screen.
I know.
I was watching them on the big screen.
Well, you guys,
it was out of the corner of my eye. I couldn't miss it.
Well, we've been adding more and more photos to the
nice.
Nudes.
Nice. Not necessarily nudes, but you know we do the show notes, and then for a while there, the pictures kind of went away. Well, we're bringing the pictures have been coming back in full force. If you guys want to check those out at drewandmikepodcast.com.
Nice.
And so I was looking for some photos of Jenna Bentley.
Ooh, there's plenty of those.
Which some of them are crazy. Did you know her? Is this her boyfriend?
Nice.
Who's this dude? This old guy?
Oh, fuck that guy. Nice. No one knows who that guy is.
Oh, that can't be her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah? Here he is motorboating her.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I love it.
Call her back immediately.
She's with that guy?
I love seeing that. That means we all have a shot.
You do not have a shot.
That is such bullshit.
I mean, this guy looks like Hulk Hogan's great-grandpa.
She might as well be in the water with his wallet.
Good for him.
Swimming with the wallet.
I'm so happy for that guy.
And so anyway, I didn't know who she was, so after seeing these pictures, I hit spacebar, N-U-D-E, and then I hit enter, and that's what you were seeing. All
oh,
these.
Mama.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is that her?
Yeah, here she is having a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction.
Wardrobe malfunction. Looks kind of intentional to me.
Nice.
Don't
nice.
Touch me while you're looking at that. It's going to creep me out,
Tom. I was just do it again. Look at this
I was
guy's
leaning
all
on
over
you.
Her.
I know. It's kind of creep me out.
Who is that guy? Wait, who's he look like?
Got
he
his hands
like
full.
He looks like...
Looks like Renee. What's her name?
Celine
Dion's
Renee.
Husband.
Celine Dion's...
Oh, my God. I got
Renee.
It. Renee.
Recently
it.
Departed husband.
You know who he looks like in some of these pictures?
Here he is, trying his best.
Does he look like Les Gold?
Les
Gold.
He's with that guy's way fatter.
Les Gold is cool.
Look at that, like the hair.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
He looks more like Donald.
Doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he kind of does look like
Stick Magic Johnson. What did he ever do? Then he catches HIV.
he catches HIV.
Wow, some of these pictures, though.
Sure, you gotta tune on 30 for 30 coming up here soon.
Discussing.
Tommy Morrison, speaking of HIV.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the podcast.
It's funny because it never hesitates. Whatever it is, it's coming out.
It's so easy to bum him out, man.
I respect him. It and never, I admire everything that he does.
It never shuts him down.
Sterling
it never
you.
Slows him down. He never pauses to think.
I never dreamt that this could happen.
I think it's a little bit Gary Graff-esque, a little bit, just a little bit.
Sorry.
But that's okay.
That's all right.
If Gary
apparently he showed up today.
Showmanclature. Hey, there's a new word, showmanclature.
No, Tommy Morrison. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
Fascinating story.
Will they have much on the crash, do you think?
Or the addiction?
I'm sure they'll cover it.
They have to. You know that part of the story, right, Tom?
No. Fill me in.
Well.
How did it start and everything?
How did what start?
He started not feeling well.
Well.
He's got AIDS.
Yeah.
And then he
got in the car, and where was he heading?
Well, you know.
And when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue, and I prayed for him.
No, he didn't.
And don't he feel good. AIDS. He
did not.
Did not pray
he
for
most
him.
Most certainly did not. Not maybe for Tommy Morrison, not for
How's
Magic?
How is Magic?
He's broke still.
Still?
Yeah. He's still selling stuff, though. He's getting down to, like, Rookie of the Year awards and college championship rings.
They're going quick if you want to buy any.
He's got AIDS.
He just spent 2 weeks at the hotel Sinead O'Connor was in, though, so he was enjoying that. Loved having cable.
That's rock
watching
bottom.
Sports.
He's got that mural of New York City behind him, at least.
It's just really weird when you're homeless, you're pushing a cart around, everybody's asking for your autograph.
And you're 6'9". Yeah, he's got moves. He can get away from those people.
Not like he used to, Bo.
Here's audio of Tommy Morrison driving.
Focus up on the day-to-day.
I don't know, what are you...
Motherfucker! That flag in my fucking truck! Hold on to your dick!
Oh, man.
I missed that show.
That took up so
That's
much
pretty,
energy.
Pretty terrible.
That chewed up a lot of energy for him, too. And he didn't have a lot left.
Happy birthday to Adam West.
He's dead.
Man, that's the second happy birthday you've given him today.
I didn't think you heard the first one.
I did.
Damn it.
He's dead.
It's Adam West Day, they're calling it.
Where?
Adam West Day. Everywhere.
He's got AIDS.
No, not Adam. I'll be damned if I let you disparage him.
Why? What are you talking about?
I'll be damned if I let you disparage him.
I actually forgot he died until the
Emmys. He should have. He really isn't dead, if you remember.
Should we call his phone number and see who answers?
Maybe he's on the... Oh, see if he's on the answering machine and just hang up if somebody answers live?
Yeah, if you want.
That's one way we could do it.
Why do you have to hang up?
Or we could tell his family we were thinking of him today.
He's not going to answer.
They're thinking of him. We are fans.
Why don't we leave him a happy birthday wish?
Because he's dead.
That's a little weird.
I left him a happy birthday.
You didn't, did you?
Yeah, online, a few times.
Online. Well.
Guess what? He's not going to see it.
Yeah, he is.
Even if he was alive, he probably wasn't going to see it.
Yes, he would. You know what? Burt Ward writes me back.
He writes you back?
He does.
All right, let's call Burt Ward and find out why does he write back this guy.
He wrote me back just the other day.
What?
To yell at you?
Why did you write Burt Ward the other day?
He had put something out on Facebook, whatever it was. And it was his grandson. And the kid was, you know what they named the kid?
What?
I don't know the last name, but they named him Dick Grayson.
That's a great
name.
And
the last name.
He's got AIDS.
Richard Grayson. Richard Grayson Smith, or whatever the last name was.
That's stupid.
And I wrote him, what a great idea. What a great name.
Boring.
That kid is going to be so lucky
to
have that name.
He loved it so much, he wrote you back.
He did.
Yeah, he can't spend 10 minutes with our show. He can spend 10 minutes explaining why he can't spend 10 minutes with us.
Asshole.
He can't spend 10 minutes with us. He can't agree to spend 10 minutes with us.
Maybe he'll talk to you now on Adam West's birthday.
That was possibly the most ridiculous interview we've ever had.
The Burt Ward one?
Yes.
We busted him. It was
BS. He was going to something in 4 hours, but he couldn't give us 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But he gave us 10 minutes explaining why he couldn't.
Can't we call him right now?
He's going to bum out.
He's got AIDS.
Let's call Bert to say, hey, what are you doing today on Adam West's birthday?
I don't have
He'll say, I'm doing what I was going to do anyway.
I have his number.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go along with it, but this is so questionable in my mind.
Is it?
Maybe you'll bond with him. I don't know. Maybe you should handle it.
Next thing you know, Tom's out at that.
I'll give commentary.
Tom's out at the dog farm that Bert owns, working.
Looking up dog.
If he offered you a job, would you go work at that dog farm?
You call him on your phone? No. You're just looking him up.
Oh, he's got it.
Oh, okay. Okay, this is on you, Maz.
Thank you.
This is all you.
You're running,
the
show here.
Do I have to introduce myself?
It's 100%.
No, I can't do that. I'm too nervous.
What?
Just do it.
No, no, I can't. Drew, you start it. You're really good at starting it.
But, Maz, it's your idea.
I know, but it's your show.
I think it'd be fun to provide running commentary instead.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
All right. I'll try.
He's going to wonder why the fuck you're calling him.
I guess I could say hi. Like, I'm going to congratulate him on his grandson.
What? He's going to go, well,
no.
Could you put something on Facebook, maybe? I mean, I am...
Burt Ward. You're calling him because it's Adam West's birthday.
Okay, that's it. Fine.
Look how nervous
he is. Let the bat phone ring.
Oh, he's dead.
I'm sorry.
Brandon, please. It's Burt Ward.
Doesn't do anything.
I feel an inappropriate drop coming if this happens.
What does he do for the black people?
Mark is an evil face.
Gosh, howdy. This is your old pal Goofy. And I'm answering the phone here and having a plate of that great dog food.
Lord.
Okay, you're messing with me.
See if he's available.
He's got AIDS.
Leave your name, number, and a short message, and we'll call you.
Please don't ruin this for me,
Brandon. I'm waiting. Such a stupid remark.
Hey, Bert. It's, Drew and Mark and Maz and Brandon
I don't call anybody.
We wanted to call you to, you know, congratulate you on your grandson, Richard Grayson, which I think is a great name.
I don't know his phone number.
And we wanted to know, you know, how you were celebrating, if you were remembering Adam West today.
Then he catches HIV.
Yes. So we wanted to reach out to you and tell you that I'm a big fan.
What kind of a guy goes to every city, has sex with every girl?
I grew up watching you guys on TV. I still watch you almost every day.
Dreamweaver. Such a stupid
Actually, I wrote you on Facebook. I'm not sure if you remember it, but I did write you on Facebook a couple of days ago.
I don't think it's worthy of even discussing.
Congratulating you on the birth of your grandson. Remark. Anyway, if you can call us back, we're going to be on a little bit longer. And we really appreciate it.
What day
is
this?
Huge fans. And that's it. So congratulations again on your grandson. And happy birthday from the Adam West. So long, Bert.
Wait until you hear from me.
Oh,
Please tell me that he doesn't hear those drops.
Oh, he hears every
those
single
Those drops
one of them.
Go through?
Of course they did.
Okay.
They never used to go through.
Well, it depends on how you have the board set up, and it's set
Such
up.
A stupid I think remark. Think
that might be my new favorite drop.
So please, they're set up to go through.
So Bert heard all of those?
I think so.
Thanks.
If he listens to his messages.
You just ruined my one chance of actually, you know, having a conversation with the guy.
Do you think that message would have been better without the drops?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Without you guys snickering at him.
I mean, for the audience. Do you think the audience is better with the drops or without the drops?
Probably with.
That was a ballsy move, man.
He's got AIDS.
Thanks, man.
Such a stupid remark.
I've been in your position before. Believe me.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
With who?
Well, Frank Beamer? Let me just say that Beamster? I apologize.
People making smart-ass remarks while I'm trying to hold it together.
Does that?
Drops playing.
I think I did a pretty good job.
Tough gig. Yeah, you did.
You did.
You hung in there. It was a little lengthy, possibly.
Which was great, because then we could play other things.
Yeah, more drops got to be played.
Team player.
That was cool.
I saw Mark was having a good time, so I kept going.
Oh, yeah, Mark
was my barometer.
Such a stupid remark.
Oh, boy.
Atrometer.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
All right, enough Sterling.
Do you want to talk about, let's see, a couple of weird things. The student killed by campus cop at Georgia Tech.
Oh.
And the whole campus has gone ape shit. It's
By the way, serious issue, maybe a serious thought. All the stories that went by, did you have any questions about anything? Which I finally got answered this
morning.
About
Georgia Tech?
No, about the kid that was killed.
I wasn't sure if it was a boy or a girl.
That was the big one.
What is that, a girl?
Well, I still wonder if it was transgender, but I also thought, well, is this person gay?
Wait, they had a lesbian girlfriend, I think.
Well, I wondered if because the name was Storm, and I wondered if
might have been transerting it over.
Well, I thought I'm like this person, because every picture there's a rainbow flag, and it turns out they were head of the gay lesbian alliance on campus. Not that it matters, but I just thought it was really interesting that was left out of almost every story until the first one I heard this morning.
I have to tell you something really strange.
Scout,
Scout, not Storm. I'm sorry, Storm's the brat that didn't stand up for the pledge, right? Yeah.
Scout's one of Bruce Willis's kids' names, right?
Rumor and Scout.
Rumor.
It was weird to me when that story was teased on Good Morning America. They said, you know, a student killed at Georgia Tech and the campus in an uprising. I was certain it was going to be a black person. And when I saw it was a white person, I was like, oh, that's interesting that it's that big a deal. I just figured it was a white cop, black student. I just, because it always is.
Correct.
And so then when they're explaining that it's this person who has a, who's obviously a female and is a lesbian, and they mentioned something about that, I thought, oh, it's a person in an interest group, therefore it's a bigger, I mean, honestly, well, it's so stupid to but.
Well, on the same things, I thought it was a big deal because they had video of the shooting.
Oh, that was definitely.
Which the media loves.
That played a role.
Which is still, I mean, still
she had bizarre. A knife, and she was approaching the cop, and they didn't know that she called. I mean, I just think people think it's so easy to be a cop. The parents were saying that she's mentally ill.
And well, thinking, the cop doesn't know that.
The cop doesn't know. No, exactly.
But watching that video, did she or he look like a threat?
Not to me, but they never do.
I know.
They never do. What I think the problem is, though, is police training. The training has to be changed.
Of course. If
we're going to say that cops cannot shoot people approaching them with knives, then we have to. There has to be some alternate training because that's sort of where they are locked in on that.
You know, the obvious thing to a layperson is, where is the taser?
I mean, have they said, by the way, should the person have been tasered? Were they considered enough? I mean, somebody has a knife and they won't drop it. I don't know.
Well, the scout kept saying,
but that seems
to
happen all the time. They never
shoot me.
Do they seem to ever taser people first when they're a physical threat?
No, but
maybe they are and we just don't hear about it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that was a threat or not. Now, one video.
There's a pretty good distance between them.
Sure.
What's he going to do, charge with the knife?
Yeah,
is that what they're worried
about?
That's
the fear. Yeah, she's moving closer. She's got a knife, and they're telling her to drop the knife, and she's not dropping the knife.
Don't you shoot?
She wanted them to shoot her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I saw it. She called the cops. She wanted a confrontation. She wanted a suicide by cop.
She told them. Please.
It was like basically a suicide.
Yeah, she said, "Just shoot me."
Suicide by cop.
So where do you go? Where do they go with this?
And she is incorrect, by the way.
It's a he.
It's non-binary.
She's not, okay.
Neither male nor female.
Okay. Oh, now, that's the first I heard of that, but so by looking
I'll,
at
I'll
her.
Bleep yeah. out. I'll bleep people, out all your
Can I just ask something? How many people are non-binary?
Not many.
And how do we know when someone's
that
non-binary?
Just started, anyway. Didn't that just start?
I think so.
Okay.
Can
this be?
Non-binary? So she's no gender? She has no genitals?
No.
Or she doesn't use her genitals in a normal way for either gender?
Gender is fluid.
So she can be either a guy or a girl?
Yeah. Male or female.
I don't know what's going on. I think I'm just too old for
this. It's just a person.
Exactly.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Is non-binary, is that a growing thing? Is that going to be a big deal? Is that going to be the normal? Is that going to be the biggest gender of all
it's
pretty
not,
soon?
It's not normal. It's weird, but... It is what it is.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm not going to be with that person anyway.
Didn't you say Hillary was leading the non-gender? What was that? That one category that she was leading?
We used
to quote it. Someone is leading the non-gender category.
Wrong.
You understand, Mark?
I know what you're talking about, Maz. I just can't remember exactly
what the
term
subject.
Was. I know somebody will text.
Who was leading it?
Well, anyway, it was on video, so I think that was why it was a big story. But Georgia Tech made a big mess out of it. They burned up a police car. And
crazy. I will go with the dad. I don't know if you saw the video with him. He kept saying, "Why'd you have to shoot my son?"
Yeah. No, I felt sorry for the parents. How can you not? The kid had terrible problems, obviously.
Now, what also sucks in this whole thing are the three assholes that just decided to go riot during the protest. So once again, the protest turned into a riot. They've arrested them.
They
lit a cop car on fire.
I really have my doubts about what's going on college campuses these days. It seems half nuts to me, but like I said, I'm getting to be an old person.
Well, you
so
do hear the extreme example.
Why don't we play some Sponge on the way out?
Sorry, was it me?
So give Vinny another couple minutes. Seen Mary? Have you seen Mary? That's a great song. I agree. Vinny Dombrowski and Sponge at Rockin' the Shores, Friday, 8:45, 9 Mile and Mac. Friday night, this Friday night, They got all day Saturday, too, and all night Saturday. Well, not all night Saturday, but Sponge is only playing Friday night, if you want to see him. And
where are they playing again?
Rockin' the Shores, 9 Mile and Mac.
In St. Clair.
So sure. Is it like on a street? It's not at a
Yeah, it's like a street fair.
Oh, kind of like so they got pizza lots of needs.
Food. Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
I'm not about to eat
arm
pizza.
It's only like the second
pizza.
Year they've done this, Joe. It's coming. It's making a name for itself.
Is it as cool as Arch Pizza Needs?
No, it's as cool. It's just not nearly as big, so it's right. better to go to.
Well, exactly.
Cool. But there's lots of good food there, though.
Arch Pizza Needs has gotten a bit well, it's huge.
The new Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Let's call them tomorrow.
Made with, you know, da-da-da.
Okay, because it's blowing up. It's been on the TV and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
Should we call him now?
Yeah, because
we can try. I don't know if the numbers work.
I kind of think so.
Oh, it's another Brandon number?
He might be cantankerous. And what we're talking about, there's a story that is starting to blow up today. And it was
I love this, and I'm
yesterday.
Here for this.
It's a guy who has been ordered by the township. What township
his
is it?
Name
Northville?
Doug?
Northville.
Northville.
What's his name?
Is it Ron?
Suzette or something? Sawzette?
Dawzette? Yeah.
But anyway, he's got
Ron?
Two.
Ron Sawzette?
Huh. Ron.
Ron, okay.
Sausage.
Ronald.
They would think that's a great name.
So he's got 200 cars, kind of like the guy in Indiana that we talked to, yeah. And they're now ordering him to get these cars out. Did you look at the satellite footage from above?
What's yes. he got, his own? Yeah. He's got his own lot?
He has to sell 20 cars a month.
Oh,
he has
boy.
Over 200. He has to sell 20 a month. And there are ads on Craigslist for his stupid cars.
Kind of junky.
Get some sod, isn't it?
Is he hiring?
Possibly. Well, you want to sell them for him?
I would
I
like
try.
To, I'd
Can't
like great. To buy that car.
Got care. Great cars.
I don't think he has a monkey mobile there.
Does he have any shaggin' wagon?
I can try one more number and then.
Oh boy, Brandon number.
Well, I'm going based on what I can get. I'm trying. I'm trying so hard.
Brandon's in a little number slump lately.
Oh.
I don't know. I got a couple recently.
Yeah.
Really?
You did.
Some okay. of the most recent ones. They worked.
We could try the Florida woman. I guarantee you this number
Electricity
works.
Electricity lady?
I will put anything on it. Yeah. That's how confident I am.
I got Magnum PI dude yesterday.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, but
that was
easy.
A score.
Why was it easy?
Because he's on the...
him and his friends at Comerica?
Facebook.
Please leave your message for...
Huh?
Eh? Well, he's 74. He doesn't. Ron, hi. It's the Drew and Mike show calling. We heard you had to sell some cars there, and we were going to try and help you out, let you make your plea, because we're going to help you clear that place out. I know it sounds kind of overwhelming.
We have kind of a training post segment. Maybe we can showcase some of those levels.
Swap shop.
You got a salesman here, too.
Yeah, so definitely, you probably move about 8 cars if you pick up or call us back. Thank you.
It's a
6,300 car. I'm saying I'm a salesman.
Good job, Brandon.
You Come know, on. When I see a car like this, first thing I do is I say, would you look at this?
The fingers you have used to dial are too fat.
Small.
To obtain a special dialing wand, please mash the keypad with your palm now.
Okay. Should I play Molly in the Way?
You
oh, no, Mary.
Dick.
Have you seen Mary? Have you seen Mary?
Hey, a quick hello to James France and Andrew Goodrich. Good buddy.
Oh, what? What?
My buddy Andrew.
Sounds like a shout out.
Oh, it's not a shout out.
Who's Andrew?
Steel and
That's a great name.
Madison Heights.
Why?
What do they do? I want to know.
What'd you get for free?
I don't get anything for free. They listen to you guys every day.
Why didn't they tell us that?
Resembles a shout out.
It's not a shout out. Did I say, here's a shout out? Or did I say, here's a happy birthday
That's
wish?
That's really what it is.
Uh-oh, Brandon's writing notes.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
I used to coach softball with Andrew. Just wanted to say hi to him.
Then he catches HIV. Is that someone we want to respect and tell our kids about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Seriously, what's his name?
All right, this is Sponge.
It's, James France and Andrew Goodrich.
What has he done? Can you tell me?
Have you seen Mary taking us out, Sponge? Friday night.
I'm waiting.
Rocking the Shores. 5 to 11. Thanks, Vinny D.
Vinny!
I respect him and I admire everything that he does.
You see, Mary.
You know what, man? I wrote a lot of these songs, and I'm just singing them, you know, and I haven't even forgot the ones I wrote.